ജയ ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാപ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് ഉന്നാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരവവാർണവാ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിദരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഖ്യം ദിയൽ സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം ോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതുവി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിദീക്ഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃതാനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭനാമുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാഭികാഭികാവി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാലേ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മോകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവ ഉപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയധ്രുതജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കണം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മോകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ശ്രീ പ്രഹ്ലാദ ഉവാച ബ്രഹ്മാദയ സുരഗണാമുനയോധ സിദ്ധ സത്വൈകദാനമതയോ വചസാം പ്രവാഹൈ നാരാധിതം പുരൂണൈരധുനാ വിപ്രോ കിം തോഷ്ടുമർഹതി സമേ ഹരിരുഗ്രജാദേ മന്യേധനാ വിജനരൂപതപശ്രുതൗജ തേജപ്രഭാവബല പൗരുഷബുദ്ധിയോഗ നാരാധനായി ഭവന്തി പരസ്യ പുംസോ ഭക്ത്യാതു ദോഷ ഭഗവാൻ ഗജയൂതവായ വിപ്രാദിഷൽ ഗുണയുതാദരവിന്ദനാഭ പാദാരവിന്ദ വിമുഖാചുപജം വരിഷ്ഠം നൈവാൽപനപ്രഭുരയം നിജലാഭപൂർണോ മാനം ജനാദ വിദുഷകരുണോ വൃണീതേ യദ്യജ്ജനോ ഭഗവദേ വിദധീതമാനം തച്ഛാത്മനേ പ്രതിമുഖസ്യ യഥാമുഖശ്രീ തസ്മാദഹം വിഗത വിക്ലവമീശ്വരസ്യ സർവാത്മനാമഹി ഘൃണാമി യഥാമനീഷം നീചോജയാ ഗുണവിസർഗമനുപ്രവിഷ്ട പുയേതയേന ഹി പുമാൻ അനുവർണിതേന സർവേഹ്യമീ വിധികരാതവ സത്വധാമ്നോ ബ്രഹ്മാദയോ വയമിവേശന ചോദ്വിജന്ന ക്ഷേമായ ഭൂതയോദാൽപസുഖായ ചാസ്യ വിക്രീഡിതം ഭഗവതോ രുചിരാവതാരൈഹി തദ്യച്ഛമന്യമസുരശ്ച ഹതസ്ത്വയാദ്യം മോദേത സാധുരപി വൃശ്ചിക സർപ്പഹത്യാം ലോകശ്ച നിർവൃതിമിതാ പ്രതിയന്തി സർവേ രൂപം നൃസിംഹം വിഭയായ ജനാസ്മരന്തി നാഹം ബിഭേം അജിതദേതി ഭയാനകാസ്യ ജിഹ്വാർക്കനേത്ര പ്രകുടീരസഭോഗ്രദംഷ്ട്രാൽ ആന്ധ്രസ്രജക്ഷതജകേസര ശംഖകർണ നിർഹ്രാദവീ ഭീരദിഘിവ അരിഭിന്നഖാഗ്രാൽ. Yesterday, in Prahlada Stuti, we saw how Prahlada says to Narasimham that whatever dress you can take, you want in front of me, and you can roar whichever way you like it, and you can act in whichever frightening form you can show that to me, but why should I get frightened of you? That's what Prahlada said to him. Prahlada's that statement is a very important one in the Shastram, because that when Narasimhamurti killed, this is the scene you have to think. Narasimhamurti has killed Prahlada's father, completely ripped him off his stomach inside and taken out all the intestines, everything, the blood is flowing everywhere. And seeing that frightening form, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Mahalakshmi and many other great personalities, they are standing a long distance away from Narasimham, frightened of Narasimham. Prahlada says, I'm not frightened about this, he says. You can dress up whichever way you want. You can come as Narasimham, you can come as whatever form you like. And you can roar in a way, whatever you want to roar, like a lion. But it does not want me, it does not disturb me at all. There are many devotees who have spoken like Prahlada has spoken. Of course, Prahlada is an extreme case, 5-year-old boy saying this to Narasimham in that way. So, yesterday we mentioned also that Arjuna had a relationship like that with Shiva. When Sandana Gopalam, that pastime happened in the Bhagavatam, that means when the Brahmana's children were taken away to one after the other, he lost all his children, and Arjuna decided to jump into the fire and kill himself, isn't it? So at that time, Brahmana came for a conversation with Arjuna. Brahmana is having a conversation with Arjuna. Brahmana says to Arjuna that you are making big talk, you are saying, but who are you at the end? You couldn't do anything about my child. You couldn't protect them, isn't it? Arjuna says, you don't know me, he says. Arjuna says to the Brahmana that Viryam Trambaka Toshanam, Trayambaka Toshanam. I am that person who pleased Lord Shiva with my courage, with my valor and heroic activities. I pleased Lord Shiva. Viryam Trayambaka Toshanam, says in the Bhagavatam. What is that Viryam? Viryam is this, that in a battle in the forest, Arjuna went there to hunt and hunt animals, and Shiva decided to come there in front of Arjuna with Sri Parvati, and there was a fight between Shiva and Arjuna. In that, Arjuna took the bow and beat Shiva's head. And and at that time, that hunter form of Shiva manifested in front of Arjuna as real Shiva. And Shivarvati also changed her form into real Shivarvati form. That time Arjuna paid his obeisances to Shiva, saying that, "I didn't know who it was I was fighting with." There is a very touching scene there between Arjuna and Shiva. So at that point, Shiva appreciated Arjuna's courage in fighting, that fighting spirit in Arjuna, and blessed him. So in the same way, you will see this in different Puranas also, the mentions there, that in the Acharya Swamiji says this to Shiva, Kanjil Kalam Uma Mahesha Bhavada, verse 81. Kanjil Kalam Uma Mahesha Bhavada, Padara Vindarchane, Kanjil Dhyana Samadhi Bijanadivi, Kanjil Katha Karnane, Kanjil Kanjida Vekshanisham Nudibi, Kanjil Desham Idrishim, Yaprapno Dimudato Darpidamana, Jivan Samukta Kalu. Remembering that pastime, he says to him that anyone, referring to Shiva and Shivarvati, says there, you are united with Uma and Shivarvati, you are together. And whoever attains to a state, into that state, and he joyfully surrenders his heart unto you, then he is always in an ecstasy. Partly that Kanjil Dhyana Samadhi Bhi, that he will feel that ecstatic feeling, Chanadhibi Kanjil Katha Karne, that partly listening about your pastimes, and Kanjil Kanjil Avekshanaishan Udhibi, and sometimes that prostrating, partly in listening to your stories, partly in seeing your holy image, and partly in singing your praise, sometimes singing your praise, Kanjil Dashami Drisham, he has attained liberation. Ya prapnodi muda tad arpidamana jivan samukta khalu. Such a person who has come to that stage is already jivan mukta. He is saying like that. So Acharya says to Shiva like this, that I paid my obeisances, I have glorified you, I have meditated on you, but nothing is working. There is no response coming from your side. So what do I have to do now? Do I have to come with a weapon and beat you up so that you will show some reaction to me? And similarly, Prahlada is also saying here. Same thing, Prahlada is saying here. Naham bibhemi, that is a 15th verse. Naham bibhem ajidade di bhayanagasya jihvarka netra brugudi rasabho gradamstral andrasraja kshadaja kesara shanka karna. He says, Naham Vibhemi Ajita. That Ajita, why Krishna is addressed as, Narasimhami is addressed as Ajita? Ajita means nobody can win over him. Nobody can win over Krishna or Narasimham. That is why he says, Ajita, Naham Vibhemi Ajita. Ajita means nobody can win over you, because what you decided is the final thing. But I am not frightened of you, he is saying. Naham vibhem ajita deedi. But where does this ajita, one who doesn't lose, one who never loses in the fight, he is ajita. But he loses. Where? With the devotee. With the devotee, he loses. You will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the one devotee to whom Krishna lost, Sudama. Krishna lost. Krishna couldn't fight with Sudama. Why? He says there, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there that what happened to Krishna in the 10th canto, if you look into the 81st chapter, Shuka Brahmarshi says here, Krishna lost. Last verse, 40th verse, verse 40. 81, 40. 10, 81, 40. What did Shuka Brahmarshi says? एवं स विप्रो भगवल सुहृतदा दृष्ट्वा स्वभृत्यै अजितं पराजितं अजितं पराजितं कृष्णा इज अजितं बट पराजितं ही लॉस्ट अजितं पराजितं ही सेज एवं स विप्रो भगवल सुहृतदा दृष्ट्वा स्वभृत्यै अजितं पराजितं तध्यान वेगोद्गतित अल्पबंधन तद्धामलेभे अचिरद सदाम गतिम सुभृत्यै रचितं पराजितं सेज शोब्रह्मर्षि सेज अबाउट दिस दैट कृष्णा हु इज अजितं हु नेवर लूजेस एनीवेयर ही लॉस्ट टू सुदामा बिकॉज कृष्णा ट्राई टू ब्राइब हिम डिड ही नॉट गेव हिम ऑल द वेल्थ एंड सी इफ हिज देयर इज एनी मूवमेंट इनसाइड change in the heart nothing don't work with him he couldn't buy him he couldn't buy anybody else in this world with wealth but not Sudama so when all the wealth was given to him Sudama took everything but then he is absorbed in his self realization that is Sudama so therefore Ajita Krishna who is Ajita he failed with Sudama He fell lost to him. So, japam, chanting the holy name, dhyanam, meditation, studying the Vedam, pranayamam, alpavijaram, all these things people do all these things and still we are not getting Krishna. People follow all different kinds of processes, isn't it? They chant the holy name, they do meditation, they engage in studying the shastram, They perform pranayamam, they do self-inquiry, all kinds of things they do and try to get Krishna somehow, but they can't get him. They can't get him. And if you keep on inquiring like this in different processes, any processes for that matter, inquiring and inquiring, finally, when will you get Krishna? At the same way that, just like this story, the Amodari Leela, Yashoda Devi tied Krishna, isn't it? And kept on tying him with the rope, but always 2 inches short. Is it not? Always 2 inches short, the rope is 2 inches short. Our sadhana is like that. You keep on doing sadhana, 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 day after day after day, whole lifetime. No sign of Krishna anywhere. Always short. Always short. So Yashoda Devi is tied around Krishna's belly to tie him around. Child he is, but the rope is not long enough. That is why. Why is that 2 inch rope shortage? It mentions, isn't it? Bandhu michchadiyame vasajjanam stambhavandamai bandhu michchadi sa niyujya rashanagunan bahun dyunguloinam akhilam gilaichadam ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതിയമേവ സജ്ജനം തം ഭവന്തമൈ ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി സാ നിയുജ്യ രശനാ ഗുണാൻ ബഹൂൻ ദ്യുങ്കുലോനമഖിലം ഗിലൈക്ഷതാം ദാറ്റ് എവ്രിബഡി ലൈക്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ടു ബി ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതിയമേവ സജ്ജനം ടു ബി കൃഷ്ണ ടു ബി ഹിസ് റിലേറ്റീവ് ബട്ട് ഹിയർ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ദേ ട്രൈ ടു tie Krishna down with their love. But everybody likes to have Krishna as their relative in some way. Tam bhavandamadi, tam bhavandamai bandhumichadi. And Yashoda is trying to tie him down, try to tie Krishna down. But even after bringing so much rope to tie Krishna, what happened to Yashoda? Dyungulonam akhilam kilaichada. 2 inches were always short. 2 inches. What is that 2 inch? Me and mine. Me and mine. So, eventually, Yashoda came out of this ahankaram inside. First ahankaram was, I can do it. I can do it. Second ahankaram was, Krishna is mine. He is under my control. That was that. So, so finally, what did Yashoda say? Yashoda Devi says there that I can't do it. She failed. She lost it, isn't it? So at that time, Krishna allowed him, allowed her, out of his grace, out of his mercy, allowed her to tie him. That's why. Vismidosmida sakhi janekshitam svinnasanna vapusham nirikshatam nityamukta vapuranyaho hare bandhameva kripayanyam anyatha bandhameva kripayanyam anyatha. That out of compassion, Krishna allowed Yashoda to tie him down, isn't it? So accordingly, Krishna stood there and said to Yashoda, you can now tie me. And then she could tie him, isn't it? And with the same rope, she was able to tie him at that time. So you can see, sadhana is like this. This is how sadhana is. You keep doing sadhana, 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 all the time. Ahangaram is saying, if I do this, I'll get it. If I do this, it'll happen. One day, Krishna will reveal. No, it won't. It won't happen that way. It'll go on like this forever, for a long period of time. And finally, when the whole ahangaram goes away from inside, then one day, Krishna, out of compassion, will reveal himself to us. That is the way spiritual life is. Not by effort. Effort by effort, it won't happen. That many, many devotees had this experience. Manikavajagar had the same difficulty with Lord Shiva. Manikavajagar says to him, he chanted the holy name of Shiva so much, billions, billions of times. Couldn't get it. And Shiva has given darshanam to many other people at that time. And I have done, the thing, interesting thing is, you heard that other devotees who had vision of Lord Shiva or Krishna, you hear that and then you think, if I also do it, I will have it. But that doesn't happen. You have done everything what others have done, but the result, you are not getting the result, isn't it? So, sadhana, I have done everything, Manikavajar says, but why am I not getting it? The same result what others have got. Maharshi said the same thing, Arunachalam Pradakshinam, the parikrama he has done, he says that people have done Giri Pradakshinam, Pradakshinam of that hill, and they had revelations from Shiva. But for me, only the pain in the leg at the end. I got only the pain in the leg. Similarly, the same sadhana others have done, and the same process others have followed, I have followed, but I am not getting the result, they have got the result. Why? He's asking that. So, only thing is that ultimately after doing all the sadhana, you realize that you can't get it. You surrender at that time. That you come to understand that it is out of my reach. I'm not anymore able to get him. And that because all this time, ahankaram is using its power to do the sadhana, isn't it? And at some point in time, ahankaram will lose. Ahankaram will say, the ego will say from inside, I've lost it. And that ahankaram will go and disappear inside. And when it goes and disappear inside, only at that time, that our swarupam, our self, will naturally manifest in its pure form. The swarupam is covered by this ahankaram. When ahankaram disappears, then swarupam will come out and then will realize who you are. And Sarupam manifests in such a way, but at the moment, because of our ahankaram inside, we don't know our Sarupam, our identity, who we are. So, the first thing is, in order that the Sarupam to come out and manifest, the first thing to happen that is this ahankaram has to go. Ahankaram has to go. How will that happen? How will that happen? That ahankaram itself has to know that it has to get convinced. Ahankaram has to get convinced that he will not be able to do it. Our own ahankaram has to get convinced first that I cannot do it. That is that stage. It has to happen like that. And therefore, you have to keep on doing sadhana, doing more and more and more sadhana. And finally, all your power of effort, you have to finish up in the sadhana. You have to finish up in the sadhana. That means that energy, what you have to do things, the whole energy you have to spend in the sadhana. And when it is completely spent out in the sadhana, that urge to do will completely stop. The urge to do will completely stop. And when that urge completely stops, then the self will manifest from inside. Then you will know that I am not Ahangaram. Ahangaram has died. That's the way sadhana works. We are thinking sadhana will bring the result. Sadhana won't bring the result. All the sadhana does is, it kills our ego. Kills our ego. It makes us to lose our faith in our ability. It makes us to lose our faith in our ability. And when you lose that faith in your own ability, that's the time you can say that Ahangaram has gone. Up to that point, Ahangaram will operate, even in sadhana. Ahangaram won't go. Because you can see how we deal with spiritual life. It is with Ahangaram, isn't it? I will do 16 rounds, I will do 192 rounds, I will do this, I will do that. So many things we will do, but at the end that Ahangaram is showing up its hood, isn't it? So that is why when the Ahangaram completely surrenders or goes away, the self will manifest. Up to that point, Krishna won't reveal himself to you. Krishna won't reveal to himself. That is the reason why it is said Ajida. Ajida. See that word? Naham vibhemi Ajida. This is the reason. He's called Ajida. Ajida is not spoken in terms of fighting physically. Not in that way. Ajida is said in this way. That even after you try very hard to have Krishna, to realize. Krishna means realization of the self. Even if you try very hard, it won't happen. Naham vibhemi Ajida. Up to this point, Krishna won't reveal himself till our whole false ego completely gets dissolved. So, nobody can get Krishna by effort or by karma. These two things. By your effort and by your karma, you will never be able to get Krishna. So, all the things outside in the world, you can get by effort. Or by using your mind, intelligence, if you utilize them, you may get them. You will get them. Most of the things outside, isn't it? By your effort, it is possible. By your effort, with using your mind and intelligence, you can acquire everything in this world. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna is not like that. similarly, other thing is, external things in this world, through effort and practice, you can practice things and achieve that. Say for example, music, in sports, what do you find? Some people are so determined, isn't it? In sports, you see that, particularly in music also, that those who are very high flyers in music and sports and literature and all different fields, science, why did they get to that level? Because they practice it. Practice is an important thing for them. Practicing. Sportsmen, they practice, isn't it? Day after day. And same thing with the musicians and all that. Big people. So, those things you can, by practice you can get. But living force, Krishna inside, how will you practice Him? How can you practice Krishna consciousness in that way? It is not possible. Because Swarupam, your own identity, how can you practice it? It is not possible, isn't it? Mind and external topics, you can practice them. But Atma or the Self, you can't practice that either. So, therefore, one who is endeavoring very hard in spiritual life all the time is called Yoga Brashta. Because as you just keep on struggling hard in spiritual life, your effort becomes more powerful. But the moment your effort stops, that is when success comes. So, and immediately you can see when the effort is stopped, yourself, reveal to yourself, what is that? Ahangaram has gone away, your communication with Antaryami begins at that point. When Ahankaram die, it is at that point our communication with the Antaryami begins. Up to that point you are communicating with the Ahankaram. Ahankaram is communicating. But this Ahankaram won't die also, because it's a false thing. It is born from there and it will show its power all the time. So, when a stage comes in spiritual life, after you have invested a lot of your effort and energy in that, and finally you have failed, and you are sitting completely surrendered, without any more effort, you finished, because you can't do any more. Say after 50, 60, 70 years you have chanted the holy name and you haven't had any success yet. So at that time you feel that you have done everything you can. That inside you have to know. You have to know inside yourself. You have done everything you can. I can't do anything anymore. And you remain in that state, that is called Sharanagati. That is the state of Sharanagati. And that means Sharanagati means at that point your Ahankaram is practically collapsed. You have completely uprooted that Ahankaram inside, or completely dismantled everything inside. And you are sitting completely failed, totally lost in the spiritual life. And at that time, very quietly from inside, you start realizing who you are. I'm not this Ahankaram. You start realizing that I'm not this Ahankaram. Identification goes away from Ahankaram to the self, Atma inside. And till you come to that, nothing will happen in spiritual life. So, and unless Ahankaram completely goes away, that state won't come inside. So that is why here Prahlada is saying, Na aham bibhemi ajita. Naham vibhem majida dedi bhayana gasya jikvarka netra brigudi rasabhogradam shtral. So, because he says here that Prahlada is saying, Krishna to Narasimham, that you are ajida, nobody can get you easily. That is why he is ajida. Even people who have performed very, very, very severe austerities and penances and sadhana, they can't get you. Because you are not easily available for anybody. My own father, he has won everybody in this creation. Everybody. But he couldn't win you. Isn't it? Here he is lying. Completely torn apart. He is lying there. So, and you have come here taking this form in front of me. This horrible form, horrific, frightening form, and taken that form and came in front of me to cheat me. Prahlada says to Narasimha, to cheat me. Because you think that I will get frightened and run away from here, don't you? Prahlada's courage inside says to Narasimha. A great devotee of Kartikeya, Subramanya, he says to him that, why do you stand in front of me with this spear? Subramanya's weapon is one spear in the hand. Why do you stand like this? What for do you need this spear? Am I a demon? He says. Why do you need that in front of me? He says to him, what I want is not your spear. What I want is your mercy. He says to Subramanik, so therefore keep that spear away and show some mercy to me instead of showing your spear to me, he said. So he remembered in that way Subramanyam. And similarly here, Krishna is standing here in this frightening form of Narasimham. And Prahlada says, you can keep all this form in front of Hiranyakashipu, not towards me. What for? He says, not for. So, or you can show it to Hiranyakashipu or to Ravana. That's okay, he says. But not to me, he said. Because by seeing all these forms, I don't get frightened. Forms don't frighten me, Prahlada is saying to him. But because there is another thing which is more frightening than this form in this world. Prahlada's answer. Naham vibhem majidate di bhayanakasya. Jihwa, Arka, Netra, Brugudi, Rebhaso, Netra, Brugudi, Rebhaso, Gradamstra, Ugradamstra, Andrasraja, Chedaja, Kesara, Shankha, Karna, Nirkhrada, Bida, Digibad, Haribhin, Nakhagrad. All aspects of Narasimha's form it is. Frightening. He is ripping with this nakam, the nails, and all the intestines that's come out from inside of Hiranyakashipu. Chedaja Kesara Shankha Karna Nirkhrada Veda Digibhadari Vinnakagral. And Jihwa, the tongue of the Narasimha's tongue, Arka Netram, and the eyes which are like sun, the shining eyes, Brugudi Rasabhagra Damstra, Damstras, that big teeth, is a frightening form of Narasimham standing there. And but Prahlada is saying to him, it's not frightening me. It's not frightening me, he says. Because this is all, he says, Goshti. Goshti means like a cartoon show. All that what you are doing here is a cartoon show. Because if you are thinking that if you show all this to me, I will get frightened, isn't it? Prahlada is saying. So, but look at Prahlada's, what he is saying. Trashtosmi aham. Next words. Trashtosmi aham kribana valsala dussahogra samsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranita baddha so karma bhi ushatama tengrimulam Prito bhavarga sharanam hoyase kadanum trashtosmeham krivanaval saladusahogram samsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranida baddhaso karma virushatama tengrimulam Prito bhavarga sharanam hoyase kadanum. That is the reason why he is not frightened. Why he is not frightened about Narasimha Murthy? This is the reason. What he is saying there is that what you are showing to me is like a cartoon. It is not bothering me because I am not frightened. Reason is, whatever dress you put up and come in front of me, that everything looks nice, Prahlada says. Because whatever you may do at the end of the day, more frightening than all that dress what you put on is what this verse is saying. What is he saying? Samsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranita. That is what is frightening. Samsara chakra. That means I have fallen into this material existence. And material nature is put me on this roller coaster called the samsara chakra. And I keep on going on this again and again and again and again, constantly. That is more frightening for me than your this form, Prahlada says. I am more frightened about this material existence, life in this material world, rather than seeing this form. More than seeing this form. This is Prahlada's intelligence. See that? He knows what is to be frightened. We are not frightened about this. Prahlada says he is frightened. We are not frightened. We say, so what? If we lose this body, we'll get another body. We'll come back here again, start the whole business again. So we don't feel any fear about this, is it not? So that's what he's saying there. I'm more frightened about that than seeing your form. Form does not frighten me. Trastosmeham krupanavalsala dussahogram samsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranita. Samsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranida. This samsara chakram, this wheel of material existence, of cycle of birth and death, I'm caught up in that. How do I escape from this? I don't know, he says. What is the way to come out of this? And this cycle is actually giving me more pain than your form, what you have shown to me now. That is the way Prahlada put it to him. So, I am struggling here in this existence of world. And don't show this TV show in front of me. Prahlada says to Narasimha, don't make this reality show in front of me. He says, I am suffering from something else. And when I am in so much distress with material life, existence in this world, you are coming in front of me and showing this serial of Narasimha Prahlada. So Prahlada is saying, it is like a serial for me, your dress up like this. You are dressed up like this and coming in front of me and trying to make me frightened. No, I am not frightened. I am more frightened about this life in this material world. That is good intelligence. To say this to Narasimha, you require some deep realization, like Prahlada. So Prahlada says to him that, so therefore, therefore he says to him, you are showing all these things like a serial in front of me, but I don't have the time to watch this serial, he says, that we will talk about it afterwards, when I am come out of this problem of life of birth and death, he said. So please do not show this form to me. Trastosmiham kripanavalsala dusahogram samsara chakra kadanal jasadam pranida baddha. Baddha means I am bound by this material life. I am bound by it all the time. Why? So karma bhi, my own karma has bound me in this way, what I am. Karma vasana inside, prarabdham inside, and the body is there. And what all in storage, I don't even know, in karna shairam, what's all being stored up there. Bhaddhasva karma bhi, ushatamam te angri moolam prithopavarga sharanam hoyase kadanu. And when I see that, the samsara chakram, I am more frightened. I am more frightened. And I don't know what to do. I have no proper goal or direction. So that is why Prahlada said that to Krishna, to Narasimha, in that way. That I don't know how to live in this world. I am frightened because the samsara chakram, that means the cycle of birth and death, is never seems to stop. Millions and millions of lifetimes through millions and millions of bodies we have been recycled already, isn't it? We have been recycled in so many bodies, and every time when you get a body, you identify with that body. And then suffer for a long period of time in this world, and one day you lose the body, you get another body. And then identify with that body, and suffer through that body, and then you lose that body, and then you get another body. Like this endless cycle continuing. Because Prahlada has that understanding, proper understanding, therefore, it's just like a giant wheel, isn't it? Only when you sit in the giant wheel and it starts rotating, then you feel frightened when it goes to the top and then suddenly bring you down, isn't it? So what is interesting here is, this giant wheel, what it does is, when it is moving, whoever is standing there, they pick them up and put them into this giant wheel. Into this giant wheel. That is what he is saying here. Samsara chakra katanal grasadam pranita. Grasadam pranita means that. Pick up everybody who is there and put them. You also come. Join us. That's what we do, isn't it? Family life is like that. Whoever is going to, you join our family. Become a member of our family. Isn't it? And then what do? We are suffering already. Make you also suffer with us. Join us in our misery and enjoy. We'll all suffer together. That's what family life is. So in that, from there you can't escape, because if you try to escape, they will come back and pull, everybody will come back and pull you together and put it back again into the same situation, isn't it? So suppose you decided, I don't want to get involved in this whole mess, in this world, and immediately, even then, somehow or the other you will get involved. That's the world. Even if you don't want to get involved in this world, the whole family, society and social life, everything has its own forces operating. And they will all together pull you into that and get you involved and make you a part of that system. You don't want to get involved, but somehow or the other you will get involved. That's the way it is. So, they will say to you, why you are not getting involved? And they will get you involved in that way. So, in this material life, that no matter whatever you do here, you can't come out of it. You can't escape from that. That's what he is saying. That, you see that word? Samsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranida. Grasadam pranida means that you somehow or the other manage to pull others into it. You are already in it. then if you let others go freely and escape from here, no, you won't allow that. You will make sure that everybody else also join me in my misery. We will all struggle together. This is the family principle. Isn't it? Trastosmeham kripanavalsala dusahogra samsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranita baddha. Already I am bound enough, on my own accord I am bound enough with all my material body, my karma, my vasanas. I am bound on my own. Added to that, so karma bhi, because of my own karma, it has happened. So karma bhi ushatamade angri moolam prido bhavarga sharanam hoyase kadanu. He's saying here that no matter what you do, it is difficult to come out of this bondage, what we have created in this world. It is so powerful, isn't it? It is so powerful. Somehow or the other, when you think about it, all this does not make any sense. None of this make any sense. But still, when you are here, you are a part of that system and you get so absorbed in that whole process. They say like that, that if you are sitting inside a train, whether you stand in the train or sit in the train or you run inside the train, if the train derails and falls, everybody will die. Everybody will die. You will also die. Similarly, as long as you are inside this body, grasadam pranida, he says here, grasadam pranida. That means, if you try to escape, it won't allow. It will pull you back and put you back into it again. Suppose you try to escape. I don't want any of these nonsense going on here. I don't want to be a part of that. Even if you think like that and try to escape from here, material life won't allow you to escape from this. It captures you back and puts you back into the thing again. Always you can see this role. Two groups are fighting. You have to take one side. They won't let you stay away. You always notice that in this world, isn't it? Two people are fighting, or so two big powers are fighting. And you are saying, look, I don't want to be a part of this. You people want to fight each other. No, they won't allow you. Either you have to be, what they say, either you have to be with us or you are against us. This situation happens in this world all the time. Because you are seeing things from a different perspective. You are seeing this is ignorance to fight like this in this world for a short period of time to maintain this body, to kill and fight each other like this. It's not making any sense. But when the big countries and big forces are fighting here in this world, and if you are in the middle of that, you can't do anything. You can't take this side, you can't take that side. You want to be away. They say, no, that's not possible. Either you are with us or you are against us. Presidents are saying like this. So what do you think their brain? They are talking like this. It's coming from the top leaders, statements like this. Either you are with us or you are against us. You don't want to be in part of any of these things because the whole thing is so nonsense. But they won't allow you that. That is what Prahlada is also saying here. Trasto osme aham kripanaval saladusaho grasamsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranidaha baddha sukarma bhi ushatama te angrimulam pridoba varga sharanam hoyase kadanu. What chance of escape here? Sometimes when you see things happening in this world, groups fighting, big groups fighting each other, and you are caught up in the middle of that, and you just don't know what to do with it. Because both sides are fighting for their own advantage. They feel that they have to fight and win, isn't it? So, and Manikavachakar puts this in Tiruvachakam, in a nice way. What he says is there, sometimes this firewood is burning, a big log of wood is burning, and an ant happened to be in the middle of that firewood. On both ends it's burning. On both ends of the firewood it's burning. This ant, which is happened to be in the middle of that firewood, what will it do? You can't go this side, you can't go that side. That is our position in this world. That's the situation in this world, isn't it? So similarly, you can't go that direction, you can't go this direction. Similarly, that I am struggling here in this world. Prahlada is saying, I am struggling in this world because I am not able to come back to you and come out of this mess here. And on the one hand, I cannot come back to you, he is saying. I cannot come back to you because you are not allowing me to come back. On the other hand, this material life, I am not able to escape from here, from this material existence. The distress here, the problems here, and all the miseries here, that I can't live with this. What's going on here in this world? All the problems and miseries of this world, I can't bear that anymore. And I can't come back to you because you are not accepting me. What am I supposed to do? Just like this and situation. That's our situation, isn't it? So, Trastosmyaham, he says, Trastosmyaham kripanaval saladussahogra samsara chakra kadanal grasadam pranita vaddha sokarma bhi ushattamade angrimulam prido bhavarga sharanam hayase kadanu. Then, Prabhupada is saying, okay, these things are going on. One side, material life has captured me like this and kept me in their grip. Material existence, Maya. On Maya is holding me very tight in her control. She is keeping me there. On the other side, you are not letting me come back to you. You are staying away from me, don't want to show any compassion to me. And if you tell me that, okay, why don't you get out from this? Prahlada says, both the legs are tied. What can I do? Why? Baddha so karma bhi. With my own karma, I am bound. See how difficult our situation is. We are bound by our karma. And we are stuck in this material existence called Maya, in Maya's control. To free from this is itself very, very difficult. Why? Because even if Maya let me go, I won't go because my own legs are tied by karma. Karma has tied me around in such a way. My prarabdham has holding me back here, not able to free myself. No movement is possible. So, Prabhupada is saying, what sadhana can I do in this situation? What meditation can I do? And where will I go for any sangam? And where will I do any kind of self-inquiry about the self? And I don't see any possibility of that happening. Here, Prahlada is taking our position and speaking. Prahlada is not in that state. But as I mentioned yesterday, that he can take the devotee's situation, sadhanaka's situation. Many great personalities have done that. They can take that position and speak on our behalf. That's what he is doing. Baddha so karma bhi ushatama te angrimulam prido bhavarga sharanam hoyase kadanu. Hoyase kadanu. When will you come and pick me up from here? Prahlada says to Narasimham, that when will you give me shelter? When will you protect me? So, only something will happen if you come and if you dismantle me from my karma, everything, and you have to save me, only then it will happen. Only then it will happen. Otherwise it's not going to happen. Prahlada is surrendering, actually, to tell us to surrender to Krishna in this way. That means dependence on Krishna is more important than your sadhana. That is the important principle here. Sharanagini is more important than sadhana. Whereas all our faith is in the sadhana. This is the problem. Even after coming to spiritual life, our faith is in the sadhana, thinking that effort will make it happen. Effort won't make it happen. This is the point. Important point in bhakti. Effort won't make that happen. Effort, you can put as much effort as you want. You will see one day all your energy will run out one day in the effort also. So that is why he is saying here, baddha so karma bi ushattamade angri moolam preeto bhavarga sharanam hoyase kadanu. When will you come and take me from here? On my own I can't go. Showing his helplessness to say to Krishna, to say to Narasimham in that way. Just like when you're going on a, say, you know, the bicycle, when you're riding a bicycle, Suppose you are going down a hill and you notice that the brake has failed. The bike, the brake is not working anymore. So you can't stop it anymore because you don't know what to do because it's going down the hill, isn't it? So the only thing you can do is to you go and crash somewhere and stop the bike. That's the only way you can stop the bike. But you have to go and crash it somewhere and stop the bike, you know, with the wheels. The front wheel has to go and hit somewhere and the bike should stop. So, otherwise, somebody else has to come and stop the bike, bicycle, and help you to come out from the bicycle, isn't it? Similarly, in this material life, material existence, we are going one body, one life, after another life, it's going on like this. Yadruchayaha samprapthaha. In the Malsyavadaram, you will see that statement. If you look into Malsyavadaram, when the Guru principle is spoken, in the 8th canto, at the last chapter. Malsyavadaram talks about the Guru principle. And there you will find that you see, 24, 8, 24, 46. Then from 46 onwards, right up to 53, Malsifish incarnation has happened, and it is a glorification from Satyavrata, King Satyavrata of the fish incarnation. So Satyavrata is saying there, Anadya Avidyobahada Almasamvida, verse 46. Tanmulam samsara parishrama aturaha yadurchaye hobasradayam apnuyur vimuktido na paramo gurur bhavan. Guru's role in spiritual life. That's what it is. That first verse. First, Rajavacha. The king Satyavrata Muni is saying this. Anadi avidyobahata almasambhida. Tanmulam samsara parishramam atura. Anadi avidya. Avidya means ajnanam or ignorance in us. Anadi, from very, very, very long time, that avidya is inside us. And therefore, alma samvida tanmulam. And I've forgotten who I am. Ever since this avidya got inside, from that day onwards, we have started accepting material bodies, one after the other. Is it not? And we kept on changing body after body after body. And in each body, tanmulam, samsaram. Samsaram means this material existence. Parishramam, adhura. We put a lot of effort in each body to become happy. We didn't become happy. We suffered miserable and we suffered heavily. Tanmulam, samsara, parishramam, adhura. And by chance, yadruchaya, ahobasrada yam apnayur vimuktido na paramo gurur bhavan. By chance, you have come addressing Malsimurti. Malsimurti is saying, king is saying, by chance you have come. How? In the form of a spiritual master and saved me from this situation. Yadruchayeho basrada yam apnayur vimuktido na paramo gurur bhavan. It has only happened because you have shown some mercy to me. And therefore this has happened. So similarly, Yadurchaya Sampraptaha, that when we are talking about this Malsyavadaram, talking about the Guru, it is spoken like this. Suddenly a Guru comes in life and saves you from this world, tells you that this is not real. You are somebody different from here. This is not your real life. This is not your real identity. Somebody comes and picks you up from here. In the form of Guru, he comes and gives you the knowledge of the transcendental knowledge to you. And that situation is a little different than other situations. Because this situation, when that happens, it is not called Sharanagari there. It's not called Sharanagari. What it means is, here, it is Krishna's grace that's doing the job. Krishna decided to come in some form in front of you and make you aware who you are and tell you how to come out of this mess. In other words, not by your effort you are escaping. Krishna comes and takes you away from here. By talking to you the right thing and giving you the right advice and telling you this is the way, opportunity to get out, come out of this mess. And he takes you out from here, which is different than Sharanagati. In Sharanagati, it is not Sharanagati anymore. That means you are going in one way in your life, in a particular way you are living in this world. Suddenly Krishna comes in some form, doesn't matter who it is, in the spiritual master's form, he comes and he stops your life, put a break to it and tells you, don't live like this in this world, waste your time doing all other kinds of nonsense, and completely changes the direction of your life, stops everything and takes you to the path of self-realization and gets you through that way. That karunyam, that mercy or grace from Krishna, that that when he does that, it overpowers you and frees you from all problems, and that is more powerful than the Sharanagati. That's more powerful than Sharanagati. See, there are various ways of coming out of this situation, from this problem. One possibility is that you do sadhana, 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 ahangaram, ahangaram goes away finally, and finally you drop. Finally you drop. You lost all your strength, isn't it? And then you surrender into Krishna and says that I can't do anything anymore. If you show some mercy, I will escape. Otherwise, I will be as I am. Nothing is going to change. So at some point in time, Krishna's grace comes and picks you up in that way. But there is another situation like here in Matsyavataram, as he says, that this avidya jnanam in me has kept me going like this life after life, and nothing has changed now. When I leave this body, I'll get another body, and I'll start the whole fresh life again in that body, suffer through that body also, and one day I'll leave that body. This way the cycle will continue. But right in the middle of all these things, if Krishna decides one day, okay, let somebody give him the proper direction in life, and picks him up from this material existence, and give him the knowledge of the self, and take him in a different route altogether, stops his old way of life, and guide him in the right direction. That is what he is saying here. And that power, which overpowers you, that is Krishna's power. That power is coming from Krishna, not from you. And that power overpowers you and takes control of your life completely. And that's more powerful than Sharanagati. Sharanagati is powerful, no doubt. But this is more powerful than Sharanagati. Because here, you are nobody there. Every responsibility is in Krishna's hands. In Sharanagati, you have to do something. A lot of sadhana and surrender and everything. Because in Sharanagati, you are doing a lot of things first. That out of your own bhakti and a large degree of surrender from our side also. Then out of my own power, if I can surrender to the extent. That means out of my own power, if I can surrender means I'll do a lot of sadhana, and then finally I come to realize that I can't do it, and I start surrendering in that way. In that way, surrendering that. And then you may possibly receive Krishna's mercy or grace, and you may make little success in that way. Because you realize that you can't do it on your own, and then you are crying in front of Krishna, I can't do anything anymore about it, so please show some compassion or mercy towards me. That truth which Vedic literature are also talking about, that satyam satyam param dhimahi, that satyam which is Vedam is inquiring after, that satyam, what that satyam has done, that satyam has come and caught hold of me and beat me up a lot and made me realize that I am stupid. And Manikvajakar says this, that truth has come and beat me up as much as he wanted. And if he has not beaten me and made me to eat the miseries of this life, suffer through the miseries of this life, and when I think about that mercy, what Krishna has shown, I don't have words to say about it, he's saying. See, great devotees, how they see it. when they escape from this material life once for all, what they had to say was this. They say that what Sharanagati said, I was not doing anything. I was so idiot and stupid wandering in this world, doing various things here and trying to enjoy here and to enjoy there. But when Krishna's mercy came, it came in such a way that to change my habits and nature, He has to beat me up a lot in various forms of misery. He gave it to me. And beat me again and again, and made me to realize that I have to change. And therefore, after feeding me with a lot of distress, He made me to change here. And He came in front of me to do that in a form, and did that. And while doing this, He made sure that I did not fall off completely from that. Because when a lot of distress comes, people always fall off the rail, isn't it? They lose their control and they may go in the wrong direction. But similarly, He is saying here that He protected me, that I didn't fall away from this. And and before I fell off from the Maya, I was falling into Maya and falling there. He woke me up from that and brought me up and put me under His shelter. How can I thank Him for this? Manikavajaka says this. How can I thank Him for this? For what He has done to me? I have not done anything. Out of His own compassion, He came, picked me up, beat me up, and fed me with, gave me with all the miseries, and made me to realize that this place is not the right place to be. Made me completely aware of that, and at the same time looked after me, that I don't completely get lost in that process, and gave me all the shelter and put me under His shelter. How do I thank Him for this? He's saying. How can I thank Him for this? That is Krishna's mercy. That is why in spiritual life it is mercy. Very powerful thing that is, isn't it? So, and you cannot explain that phenomenon. That phenomenon you can't explain that, because we don't have the words to explain that kripa or grace, isn't it? So when you are in the material life, material world or material existence with all our ego, and when you are situated in that stage, then everything you are experiencing a distress in this life, isn't it? And lot of distress is coming in life. You don't know why it is coming. We don't know why it is happening like that, one way or the other. And in the middle of all that, in the middle of all this mistress and miseries of this world, Krishna arranges some salsangam, opportunity to hear Bhagavad Gita, offer opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And you get to know so many things what the rishis have put into Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And when you get that, don't you feel some gratitude to Krishna for giving that opportunity to hear? So, you have seen this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam before, and many instances, but you never valued it to that extent, that Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam has something special to offer. Or you have thought about it, that there is some stories, something spoken, happened 5,000 years ago. But when it starts affecting your own very life in this world, at this moment in time, you can understand and appreciate the power of the rishis. So that is what he is saying here. That when the distress came in life, and when I got some good thrashing in life, at that time I started looking at it seriously. And if the thrashing hasn't happened, I won't look into Bhagavad Gita. I won't look into Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not. Only when you get thrashed by a few times, then one day you will slowly start reading the book, looking into the book, what rishis are saying. Otherwise you will think, oh, what is this big deal about Bhagavad Gita itself? So in householder life, this is the greatest benefit. You will get a lot of thrashing from all sides, and that is free also. In householder life you get it very free. Every householder knows this, isn't it? Householder life, distress will come, and you are ready for the bomb to go anytime. How it will go, you don't know, is it not? So like they say, isn't it, that certain things you buy in Tesco, buy one, get one free. That's exactly the principle. You buy and you get one free, isn't it? Or sometimes you find a sticker there. Similarly, in this material life, material existence or our material life, in other words, which means householder life, when you get married, the sticker is free. The sticker is given to you with that. That sticker is saying that you buy one, get one free. It's like that. What is that sticker saying? Problem. From that day onwards, problem, dukkham, all kinds of miseries. One after the other, it will keep coming. Whole life you will see you are sorting out the problems. Whole life you are only doing that. One problem comes, some solution you have found, you are moving on to the next one comes. One thing or the other. So one after, like a queue, it keeps coming, isn't it? One after the other. And one problem will be telling the other one, you go first and then I'll come later. This is family life. The whole life is nothing else except this going on. You can't do anything. And after finishing solving all these problems, you are saying, I'll take to spiritual life. After sorting out all the problems at home, which will never happen. So, therefore what has happened, every time the problem comes, it is like giving a shock treatment from one thing or the other. So, it is at that time that it keeps on giving the shock treatment from every side. So you get completely lost at the end. So then you start thinking, where is Srimad Bhagavatam? Let me go and read Bhagavatam, what is happening there. So, and that is how we come to Bhagavatam. Otherwise, who is interested in the Bhagavatam? There are so many other nice things going on in the world to enjoy. But to feel that distancing from the world is not easy. More than studying Srimad Bhagavatam, the difficult part is that to get disconnected from the world, that's more difficult. To get that vairagyam inside. That is why vairagyam, they keep saying for this reason. That unless there is vairagyam, jnanam won't work. Jnanam is there in the Bhagavatam. Jnanam is there in the Bhagavad Gita. But its effect won't be there in us till vairagyam is there. Only when you have vairagyam, jnanam will have some impact on us. And in order that the vairagyam to come, miseries are necessary in life. Otherwise, how will vairagyam come? If everything is going on nicely in life, where will be any vairagyam in us? So, that is why he says. So, otherwise, the whole spiritual life will be like an entertainment. For many people, spiritual life is an entertainment. Chant, dance, eat well, enjoy life. It's fantastic, isn't it? And we are going back home. That's our, a lot of people have this misunderstanding that spiritual life is all fun and accordingly we'll shape the whole thing in that way. Spiritual life is not entertainment. Spiritual life is a serious business. It is after seeing the truth, what's going on here. Is there a way out from here? If that thought has come inside, only then you can take spiritual life seriously. Otherwise it will never happen. It will always be like this, an entertainment from beginning to end. Chant, dance. You can dance, yes. You can chant, but music, feast. In that way it will go. It will go like that. So when this happens, and when you start reading Bhagavatam seriously, what these devotees are saying to us, that you can see in the devotee's eyes, when you look, that there is distress in life. They are experience affecting it them. So, and if you go deeper into through their eyes, if you look, you will see that there is a lot of distress behind that. And you should never blame that distress or find fault with that distress, because the distress what they have got is Krishna's grace. That's what it is. Because it's Krishna's grace that distress is. If that distress hasn't come in their life, they will never be able to come to, nobody will be able to come to Bhagavatam or to take to the message of Bhagavad Gita. So, because at that time, in our inside, in a natural way, we are saying to Krishna, I have no other way. What am I supposed to do? I come and got into the situation. Otherwise, what will happen is, we'll keep on sticking to what we were doing before and we'll stay with that. So, they will give this example that we will not come out of it. Once in one of the bakeries, not here in India, in a place, hilly area, in a bakery, they have made a lot of sweets and chocolates and all that things, and they put it in the bottles and kept it. So one monkey, because there was a hilly area, there was monkeys as well. One monkey comes and he puts his hand into one of these bottles to take. Because the bakery owner was not there, so he put the hand into the bottle to get out one thing. He wants it very badly. He's not able to take it out. Meanwhile, the bakery owner comes and he comes with a stick to beat him. So when he's beating him, he does not want to leave the chocolate. But you cannot go because he's getting beaten from the other side. So similarly, that he keeps on beating. And similarly, we are also on the one side. On one side, Maya is beating us. Prakriti is beating us. And unable to bear that beating. On the other side, we don't want to leave the chocolate. What is in this life? Isn't it? In this situation, we are stuck in this world. Stuck in this world. So, we are, Taimanavar compares us to those monkeys. We are like those monkeys, he says. They're like trying to get some, there is some chocolate here and that chocolate you want. But Maya has beaten you so much from all sides that you are still not able to, don't want to leave that chocolate here, says sir. So, and there's another interesting story about this. You must have read this also. It is in the Panchatantram and other stories. Then woodcutters, they go to the forest, right? They cut the wood. In the olden days, unlike today, they had to saw the wood. So big logs of wood, they had to saw for hours or sometimes even days, huge trees when they cut down to make them into small pieces, right? So they will have two people sawing the wood, one top sitting on the top, another at the bottom, and they'll pulling the saw up and down, it'll go on for a long time. And little by little the wood will start cutting and broken in the middle or something. So suppose they started the work in the morning, by lunchtime they would have progressed a little bit. And then they'll go for lunch. So while going for lunch, what they'll do is they'll put a wedge in between the split, so that they can continue from there. You must have seen, everybody has seen this. So they'll put a wedge there and they'll go. So when they've gone for lunch, some monkeys were there, they saw this. Their habit is to somehow or the other create some nuisance, isn't it? So they came and sat on this wood and they looked what these guys are doing here. They have got a very funny way of looking at things. They come and sit there on the wood and they're looking like this. In the meanwhile, their long tail has fallen in between these two gap, between the gap there. They thought, why is this wedge here? They pulled the wedge out, managed to pull it out. The wood snapped back and the tail got caught in that. They are not able to come out from that. You must have seen this in the villages and all, it's quite a common thing. So when this happened, that is what he's saying here. That, and he's stuck there, he's not able to come from that. Then he's not able to take his tail out because the wood has gone back. So similarly, in this material life, what we are living here, living now, that we are caught in that and we have got involved in all these things to such an extent. So much distress is coming in one way or the other, and that is tapam. Tapam means that tapasa, that becomes our way of life. We are finding it difficult to escape because we have come and caught up in this with our, like the way the monkey got caught up in the wood, similarly we came here and we got involved in everything and we are caught up in this mess. So so this situation with us is serious. It's a very serious situation, isn't it? That, like we mentioned before, that when you send the rocket away from here, the scientists call it as escape velocity. That means that the rocket has to keep pushing till it is get enough force to get out of the gravitational pull of the Earth. Earth is pulling back its gravitational power. To free itself from this gravitational pull, it has to be pushed out by the power of the rocket, isn't it? That rocket push is necessary. Similarly, how far this distress has to carry on, how far the distress has to carry on. Distress is like this rocket, to such an extent that enough vairagyam comes in us not to go back to this material life again. To that extent, you get the vairagyam. Up to that, we need this power of misery. We need it. And that is Krishna's grace. That Krishna gives us enough misery in life that eventually you realize it, there is misery in this world, and you decided to get out of this place. Up to that point, the misery has to be there in life. Otherwise, it won't happen. Sometimes devotees say, "Oh, I met that devotee in the street, he gave me a book, and I was looking for the truth. And when I read the book, all the answers were there." He says, no question, no answer here. When you get kicked enough from this world, then we will come to our senses. Otherwise we won't. When we get enough kicked in this world, we'll come to our senses. And then, only then, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, you will start seeing the light there. Otherwise you won't. You can say anything. Then people will say all sorts of things. That they did this, they did that, you can do your yoga, tapasya, everything else. So, till that, distress comes, and come to that point that so long as you have your faith in your own sadhana, so long as you have some taste for sense gratification, this distress has to be there. So long as you have some faith in your sadhana, and so long as you have some taste for sense gratification, the distress must be there to burn you all the time, to burn you further and further. And because that distress that is coming is a force in life, is a force in life. What that force does is, force will push us out from that and will take us out of this attraction for the world and go beyond the attraction of the world and put us into the field of attraction of the soul. Field of attraction of the soul. And once you have got caught up in the attraction for the soul, then you have escaped. Then you have escaped. So it is the amazing process that is the spiritual life. It's an amazing process that is experience of the knowledge of the self. And that is what Prahlada is saying here. Prahlada is saying here that when I see this great, great distress, what is going on in this life, saying to Narasimham, you can dress up whichever way you want it. It does not bother me, because this is more powerful than your so-called dress, what you are showing to me. Does that not make sense? Does that not make sense? That look at Prahlada's understanding, how he is approaching Narasimham, saying to Narasimham that these forms and all doesn't frighten me. What frightens me is this material life in this world. And that is the reality, isn't it? That is what he is saying here. That he says to Narasimham, whatever dress you have put on, you look very beautiful, he says. Trastro smyaham kripana valsala dusaho grasamsara chakrakadanal grasadam pranidaham baddha sokarma bhi ushatamade angrimulam prito bhavarga sharanam hoyase kadanu. That is the way Prahlada answered that. This made Narasimham very happy when he said this. Neither Brahma nor Shiva spoke like this. They couldn't speak like this. And that is why Prahlada's Stuti is famous. Prahlada's understanding is so good. How can Shiva speak like this? Because Shiva doesn't have the problem what we have got, nor Brahma either. But Prahlada is able to come to our level and make an offer like this to Narasimham. Narasimham was so impressed by those prayers from Prahlada. That is why when Prahlada spoke all this, tears came from Narasimham's eyes. Seeing that sincerity and seeing that surrender in Prahlada and Prahlada's understanding of material life, though it's really moved his heart. Moved Narasimham's heart. Then he says there, Then you may ask the question, why, where is Prahlada experiencing this material miseries like the way he do? He's only 5 years old and he's saying this. In 5 years old you don't experience material miseries, do you? You don't even know what material misery means at that age. But and he is saying all these problems of us who are old people suffering in this world through household and life. So either in previous life as a samskaram it could have happened, or you will see this in many, many devotees who are very young. They have spoken like this. Jnana Sambandha, you know Jnana Sambandha's story. He spoke in the same way. He left this world 16 years old. Before that he spoke everything what he had to say. So the question will come, how did they know about all these miseries of material life to that degree? We, after going through, we have started opening our eyes now and seeing that there is something seriously wrong here. Some understanding is coming to us like that, isn't it? So, so how did this come to Prahlada and Jnanasambandha and others? Some samskaram they had in the previous times, that is coming out now. So, otherwise, how can they sing our miseries, our distresses in this way, in the songs? So, and they are asking this question, on your own, how can you come out of this world? On your own, how to escape from this mess? We agree that there is a lot of distress in this world, but is there no remedy for these problems in this world? For example, when an illness comes, disease comes, there is a medicine for that. Hospital is there, doctors are there, and relatives are there to care for, and mutually we can help each other. And there are so many solutions to the problem. We have a social setup, and we have got social security systems to protect us from all disturbances, isn't it? And not only that, we say the medical science is progressing very well. And for every problem, there is some remedy in this world people have found out. But let's see what Prahlada has to say about that in the next verse. Yasmal priyal priyaviyo gasayoga janmam shogagmina sagalayo nishudahyamana dukkhaushadam dadavi dukkhamadadhyaham Bhuman Brahmami Vadame Tavadasya Yogam. Verse 17. Yasmal Priya Priyavi Yogasa Yoga Janma Shoka Agnina Sagala Yonishu Dahyamana Dukkhaushadam Tadabi Dukham Adadhyaham Bhuman Brahmami Vadame Tavadasya Yogam. That is Prahlada's answer to that question. If you ask this, saying this, that there is a solution in this world for everything, all the problems, medicine, doctor, friends, society, social security, all these kind of things, then why suffer? If you are saying that, that's the answer for that. Every word in that has to be reflected upon very seriously. He's saying, solution to the distress, he's saying. What is the distress? Distress is, priya, apriya. Yasmat priya, apriya. Viyogasa yoga janma shogagnina sakala yonishu dehyamanam. In this world you will see that you want somebody to be priyam. You want to have a relationship. You don't want any uneasiness with this world, with others, is it not? But it is not happening that way. That you want people who are favorable to you in every way and come to you in your life in that way, but they are not coming that way. Similarly, apriyam, priya, apriyam. Apriyam means unfavorably. People should not come in life, in our life, who are unfavorable to us, but they come. You can see in family life how this happens. Then you get some people in family life. You want everybody to be favorable to you in your life in this world. But somebody will come and take birth in the family who will be totally against you. Apriyam. So, he's saying, what will you do about that? They come and they joined you in your journey as a part of you. And you wanted them to be favorable, but they were not favorable. They came unfavorably. You want it, that's what he's saying. Esma apriya apriya viyoga sayoga janmam. And not only that, they have come, they won't leave you either. They'll stay with you for the rest of it. So in this particular topic, that what is special about us is that these goats and the cows and us, there is not a big difference. Goats, cows and us, there is not a big difference. In the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, Acharya Swamiji explains this, why it is so. He's saying there that suppose you show some grass to a cow, cow will come straight away to you to eat that grass. If you take a stick, the cow will go. If you take a stick, the cow will go. So that cow is anugula pravartade pradigula nivartade. The nature of the cow is, if the thing is favorable, it will come to you. If it is unfavorable, it will run away from you. Like if you show the grass, it will come to you. Nice green grass, if you show, the cow will come running to you. But if you take the stick in the hand, cow knows that you are going to beat, it will run away from you, isn't it? Similarly, in this life also, when things are favorable to you, you feel happy. You feel happy. When it is not favorable to you, you run away from here. You run away from here, isn't it? So, anugulam pratigulam. When it is favorable, you go after that. When something is giving you happiness or fun, you go after that. When something is unfavorable and is not giving you happiness, you run away from that, isn't it? So, this is what material existence means, samsara means. But the problem is, things that is opposite to us, which is not favorable, that is running after us. And which is favorable to us, that leaves us and goes away from us. That also you can see. What is opposite to us, which is not favorable to us, which we don't like, it comes to us. And it is running after us to catch us. And similarly, what we like it and what we are happy with, that runs away from us, goes away from us. So, so therefore he says, that is what Prahlada is saying there. You are inquiring after happiness in this world, and you are not getting happiness, and you are running after this happiness. Dukkham or distress, you are trying to avoid that, but it is chasing us. Distress is chasing us, isn't it? And not only that, that dukkham or distress is permanently camped in our house. It's camping in our house. It will never go in the house. Householder life is a typical example of this. This whole thing, Prahlada is talking from a householder's situation. He says, what is the solution? He says, dukkha ushadam tadabhi dukkha madadhyaham. He says, dukkha ushadam, that suppose you want to take a medicine as a cure for all these problems, that when you have taken the medicine, the problems that came after taking the medicine is more than the problem you had before. Like every problem you try to sort out at home, family problems particularly, you will notice that every time you try to solve the problem, it's creating fresh, bigger problems later. And then you start thinking, all these years I thought I've done all this, it will get better. But now the problems has become more acute and a much bigger level, it has happened. And this is the very nature of Maya, that in life it has to be like this. That is the only way that we will get that vairagyam in life. So that is what he is saying here, that after a while you are thinking the old problem was better, the new problems that has come from that. So many times this will happen in life. If you analyze life of people in this world, you can see people are caught up in this. And then they are suffering. And they are not able to think even, because one problem is all, a much bigger problem is waiting behind after that. So where is that person has a shanti inside to come to read what Prahlada has to say? So that is what he is saying here, that like you got sick, you took some medicines, And later on, you realize that you got some other problems. And then you started thinking that the old disease is better than the new disease. So many times this happens. In various diseases, this happens in this way. So, dukkha oshadam tadabhi dukkha matadhyaham. That is what Prahlada is saying here. Dukkha oshadam tadabhi dukkha matadhyaham. That better than this treatment, disease is better. They are saying the disease is better than the treatment. They come to that realization. They came to the realization. Because after a lot of treatment, you start seeing, what did I gain from this? The disease has not gone away, except that I suffered a lot with this treatment. And then you start thinking, at least if I stick to what I was doing before, that was better than this. It hasn't really helped me. Disease was better. And treatment is more frightening than the disease. The treatment is more frightening than the disease. There are so many treatments like that, isn't it? So, Prahlada is saying there, at that time, to whom will you ask for a relief? Where will you ask for a relief? And you are, because every time problem comes, you are looking for a remedy straight away, isn't it? And if you use the remedy for the treatment, it does one good thing to us, that you will start thinking that the problem is good in the sense that you will feel somewhat better. Prahlada is saying here that for in this world, for all distresses, people, whatever solutions they find through their intelligence, right, that they will not see that remedy is going to bring another distress later, subsequently, and all their so-called remedy is never a cure. It's a very important principle. Dukkha ushadam tadabhi dukkha madadhyaham bhuman brahmami vadade tava dasya yogam. This conviction has to come first, that all problems you are trying to solve here with your intelligence and mind and brain, everything, isn't it? And all those remedies, Prahlada is saying here, it will bring some dukkham later in a big level, big scale. And you will notice that your so-called remedy, what you are trying to solve the problem, is not becoming the solution to the problem. But to come to that understanding is very difficult. Because it's a very high insight, these words. It's a big insight into life, and that won't come very easily. We will read all these things, we will shake our heads, but we will go back to our own. This depth of life, understanding what rishis had, we don't have it today. We don't have it. That's the reality. To come to this understanding, what is that? Yes, man. Priya priya viyogasa yoga janma shoka agnina sagala yonishu dahyamana dukkha ushadam tadabhi dukkham adadhyaham bhuman brahmami vadame tava dasya yogam. How many people have this understanding in life? What Prahlada is saying, you see, people get married, then problems, all sorts of problems, they break up, then have they learned anything? No. They'll go and get married again. And then, like this, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, it happens. When will they learn? That's what he is asking. Dukkha aushadam. Why? It is an aushadam. Marriage is an aushadam. Medicine, isn't it? That you felt lonely, you felt you want to have a partner, you want to have some company or companion or whatever. It is so many different desires inside. And then once got married and seen what married life is, and even after that something happened and it didn't work out, everything broke up, still it's not working. That is the great principle. And that insight won't come very easily. You got to get beaten many, 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 many times before this insight comes. Dukkha aushadam tadabhi dukkham adadhyaham. Prahlada is saying, Shukabrahmarshi is saying, rishis are saying to us, dukkha aushadam Tatapi dukkhamata dhiyaham. Dhiyaha means, from your intelligence you are coming out with the solutions. That's what's happening. Through your intelligence you are trying to solve the problem. But intelligence won't help, because whatever solution you come up with through the intelligence, there will be a bigger problem waiting behind to come and take control over. And that time you are baffled by the whole thing. You are baffled by the whole thing. Marriage is one example. Like this, everything else in life. This is only one side of it. It's only one small example compared to so many other things what happens in life with all of us. Is it not? Look at our own life and keep on thinking about it. Prahlada is speaking on our behalf, all these things. To make us conscious and serious about spiritual life, and to make us understand that spiritual life is the only answer to all these problems. There is no other solution to these problems. With our intelligence and brain, if you start trying to solve the problems, you will end up in serious difficulty, because that's the way Maya works here. Maya has kept us in such a control that your solution and your intelligence won't solve the problems. Unless you, Brahman, Brahmami, Vadame, Tava Dasya Yogam. The only shelter is, I take to your service. He said, Tava Dasya Yogam. That is the answer to this problem. He says that the answer to this problem is that I come to you rather than going and solving my problems on my own, because that problems will never get solved. That says, so this is saying that you will never understand this only when you had experienced it. What a great insight this statement is. What a great insight it is in this life. You see, and if you look back in your own life, you will know this to some extent. So, one problem, to solve one problem, you have taken some action. You have taken some action to solve one problem. And what will happen is, that from that action, like a chain, another problem will come. And you'll try to solve that problem, another problem will come from that. It appears as though it never comes to an end. Like a chain reaction, it will come one after the other, one after the other in life. To grasp this principle, you need some experience also in life, and some thoughts, a mananam is required there. So, and this is the reason why realized souls tell us, stay quiet. Because this is like that, this is the reality. So they say to you, stay quiet, don't do anything. That's the answer to that. Said, but we will not understand that. And what we do is, we keep on adding to it. And this we can see. That is why, that it is because of this only. This insight, if you have got, then you have understood Bhagavad Gita. You know why? What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Gahana karmano gadi. Have you seen that verse? Look at that. People don't understand that. Why Krishna says like this? Gahana karmano gadi. There is a verse. About karma. Krishna is talking about karma. That's where it comes. Gahana karmano gadi. The beginning of that is sorry? 417. Yes. Karmano hyabi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gadi, gahana karmano gadi. Karmam, nobody can say how it will turn out at the end, is it not? That is why he is saying here, the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. See that? Intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. Karmano hyabi bodhavyam, bodhavyanja vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gadi. Gahana karmano gadi. If you have understood, because generally we think that karmam I have performed, the result must come from that. And the result also, we expect a certain result from that. It is with that understanding we are making decisions in life. And we are operating in different levels in solving different problems. Is it not? But why is that the result is not according to your plans? Why does it not happen that way? Because that's the reason. And knowing this very well, Krishna put that in that fourth chapter. Karmano hyavi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gadi. That gahana karmano gadi is an amazing statement. For Krishna to say that, we saying is different. But for Krishna to say gahana karmano gadi means that Krishna knows that the nature of karma better than anybody else. Otherwise he wouldn't have said that. Krishna knows the nature of karma. Karma is like that. You may execute so many things what we think is intelligent and planning and work with that understanding in this world. That is how we all live in this world, is it not? Making plans and operating with the our great plans. And we say, I use my common sense, he says. What is this common sense? Sometimes, and successful people, successful what I'm talking about is people who have made money in this world, that kind of characters, or who have become famous in this world. So when they go and interview them, these television people and all that, how did you make it? How did this happen? How did you become a billionaire? Or how did you do this? You should see the way they answer those things. Because they don't know that gahana karmano gadi, the way karma flows in this world, in our life, is very, very, very difficult to explain that. It is so gahanam. Gahanam means it is so confidential, you will never be able to understand. And Krishna is saying that more than anybody. So from that one line, you can pick up the whole intricacy of karma. If Krishna has to say to us, gahana karmano gadi, you can immediately understand karma is not in our control. Karma is not our control, and everything what we do in this world may or may not be positive in result because gahana karmano gadi. So that is what it is coming here also. So here Krishna is saying that karmano hyavi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gadi. So that gahana karmano gadi. Karma is a very confusing and very complex. Very confusing and complex. And you should never think that I'll get involved in this and become perfect in that. Better to give up that understanding. You'll get involved in it and become perfect. You should know karmam, you should know vikarmam. And you should know kamya karmam. Kamya karmam means fruitive action. You should know karmam, you should know vikarmam. That means forbidden karmam. And you should also know kamya karmam. That means fruitive desires. And you should also understand how to live without engaging in karmam in this world. That's also important. Akarmanascha bodhavyam. Krishna is saying there. You should know karmam, what karma means. You should know vikarmam, what forbidden karma means. And then Krishna is saying there that you should also know kamya karmam, fruitive activities means. And you should also know what akarmam means, to remain without doing karmam. All these things should be known. Whereas we don't believe in that, do we? We say akarmam, how can that be? Akarmam is not good. Some people say, Krishna says you have to do your karmam. And then they, why? Because the karma vasana is so strong inside, that's pushing them to say like that. So it's the same thing. Krishna is saying, karmano hyabhi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gadi. Fantastic statement that is. Amazing statement. Nowhere else you can see a statement coming like this. Sometimes from Krishna, when he says that gahana karmano gadi, in that 2-3 words, he has packed up the whole secret of karma inside that. So therefore he says, gahana karmano gadi. That akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gadi. So take that medicine. That also learn sometimes to stay quiet and don't get involved in anything, pull out of everything and withdraw from everything. And that is what Prahlada is saying here also. Dukkha oshadam tadabhi dukkham atadhyaham. It is another way of saying what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Dukkha oshadam tadabhi dukkham Atadhyaham. What is that? Dukhaushadam. You have a problem and you have found a solution for that problem with another problem. And that baffles everybody. You had a problem, you tried to solve the problem, it ended up in a much bigger problem. Isn't it? Dukhaushadam tadabhi. Why? Because that solution has come from your own intelligence and mind. Dukhaushadam tadabhi dukham adadhyaham. So that is the important thing in that verse. Yasmal priya priya viyoga sa yoga janmam shokagnina sakala yoni shudhyamana dukhaushadam tadabhi dukham adadhyaham bhuman brahmami vadameta vadasya yogam. Prahlada is saying what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? So, what is my situation, says Prahlada. Vedam says, Upanishad is saying, Tattvamasi. You are that truth. Brahmam. That's what you are. Vedam is saying to us, you are Brahmam. Isn't it? Aham Brahmasmi. But I don't know what that is. But what I know is, I am thinking, I am this body, I am this mind and intelligence, or anatma, or asat. I am thinking like that, I am that. And I keep on rotating in this cycle of birth and death. Isn't it? So, he says to, Prahlada says to Narasimham, that body, my false ego, and all these things have become a problem for me. Problem for me. And Jnani is saying, leave bhakti and let me have the realization. Tadabhodam. But even though Jnanis will say like that, Prahlada is saying here that even though I am not aware, I am not able to come to that state, what Jnanis are talking about, I have another desire in my heart. What is that? Dasya Yogam. Dasya Yogam. Prahlada is known for that, isn't it? Dasyam. For Dasyam, Dasyam, Prahlada is considered to be the perfect example in Dasyam. Dasyam means servitude. In servitude, isn't it? So, another yogam now. We heard about bhakti yogam, jnana yogam, karma yogam, raja yogam. Prahlada means another yogam now called dasya yogam. Dasya yogam. Dasa. What is this dasya yogam? Speciality is dasya yogam. Dasya yoga means, Prahlada is saying here, that my mind, let it go anywhere. Let it go anywhere, wandering around. And let there be any distress in my life, let it come. But whatever it may be, for a servant normally, for a servant, even though he may be thinking many things in his head, many things in his head, and even though his life is not very pleasant because of various difficulties and problems in life, all he can do in this world to live according to the instructions from his master. For a servant, isn't it? Servant has to accept the instructions from the master. That's all he can do. For example, in the wealthy families, when they employ a servant to do the work at home, that he, the big house, big palace, big palatial house, it may have all the big facilities there. Swimming pool, big reception rooms with all first class sofa sets and air conditioning and big dining hall and nice, lot of nice foods are cooked in the kitchen, everything will be there. But if the servant wants to enjoy everything like the master in that house, it's not possible because it doesn't belong to him. He's a servant there, isn't it? So sometimes he may even think when the whole family is sitting and enjoying the food all together, he may feel like sitting there with them and enjoying the meal in the same way with them. But he will not do that, isn't it? He will not do that. So, because even within his mind, even though he has desires for that, but because he recognizes that they are his master, he is a servant, he will not bring all his thoughts in his mind into actions. He will not bring his thoughts into his actions. Similarly, this Dasya Yogam or Dasya Bhakti means that in the mind let anything happen. Any desires come or any planning happens, whatever it may be, or you are losing your control on different things. But if you keep accepting this, that I am Krishna's servant or Narasimha Murthy's servant, he is there, I am a slave for him, I am a slave for him. What he gives it to me, I will accept it. And I can only have what he has given to me. If this understanding comes, or wherever he puts me, I will stay in. There only I can sit. I can't hope for anything better than that. How he conducts my life, accordingly things will happen in that way. I can only live in that way in this world. Whatever he makes me to do, I can only, that's all I can do. Or whatever experiences he gives to me, I can only accept that. I can't do anything more than that. And I do not have on my own independence to do anything or to run, manage anything. I do not have that. And I do not even have the freedom to think independently or to act independently. I am his servant. And if you are able to remain in that state in this world, that is called Dasya Yogam. That is called Dasya Yogam. And this yoga system is one to be practiced from the beginning, Dasya Yogam. Dasya Yogam is another form of Sharanagati or Bhakti. This is Prahlada's Bhakti. You see? This is Prahlada's Bhakti. Prahlada's Bhakti is not doing arati or doing deity worship or doing any other things in life. Prahlada's Bhakti, the beauty of Prahlada's Bhakti is this. This surrender inside. This surrender inside. Whatever Narasimha has given me, that's my life. I'm not expecting anything more than that. In that state, to stay in all the time without allowing the ego to rise up inside. As he says there, that let anything happen in the mind. Let any thoughts come in the mind. Thoughts will come. That's not going to stop. That will keep coming. I may sometimes lose the control over my mind. I'll see it's driving me crazy, this mind. But I recognize that Narasimha Murthy is there. I am his slave. I am his slave. What he gives it to me, that's all I can have. I can't have anything more than that. Wherever he puts me in whatever situation, that's all I can. I have to be there in that state. And how he conducts my life and makes me to live in this world, that's the way I will live here. And what he makes me to do, that's all I will do here. And whatever experience or results comes to me from that, that experience only I can have from that. And I do not have the freedom or independence to do anything, even to think independently. That freedom I don't have. This is called Dasya Bhakti. And I am his servant. And this practice is called Dasya Yoga. That is what he is saying there. That Dukkha Ushadam Tadapi Dukkha Madadhyaham Bhuman Brahmami Vadametava Dasya Yogam. Dasya Yogam. So, one important thing you notice here, this Dasya Yogam is not after controlling the mind. All other yoga processes, first you have to control the mind, isn't it? In Dasya Yogam, you don't have to control the mind. It is not after controlling the mind Dasya Yogam begins. Dasya Yogam begins even when the mind is not under control. When the mind is under control. Mind is always playing its game. Playing its game. It has not come under control. And what you have done is, in Dasya Yogam, you handed over this mind to Krishna. You can do whatever you like with it. And you are not bothered what comes and goes into that mind. And this is what, in the Kathopanishad you will see, Vijnana Sarathi. Remember that? If you look into Kathopanishad, you will see Vijnana Sarathi, a word used there. Vijnana Sarathi. Vijnana Sarathi means that he's saying that it is a word very precise in that situation. Where does it say? Yeah. If you look into the it's chapter 2, I think, verse 9, where we talked about Tritiya Valli, third Valli, verse 9. You see, there, that's where Yamadharmaraja is comparing this body to be a chariot. Body is a chariot, and the soul is the passenger in the chariot. Intelligence is the charioteer, and senses, the horses are the senses. And the rein of controlling the horses is the mind. Remember that? That, what do they call it? The Rathakalpana. That picture in the Bhagavad Gita in the front, where you look at Arjuna and Krishna sitting in the chariot, Krishna holding the rein, and the horses, five horses in the front, and that rein is the mind, and Krishna is that intelligence. Krishna is the intelligence. Arjuna is the passenger, and the chariot is moving. There's number of verses based on that in the Kathopanishad, based on this Rathakalpana, as a chariot. Almanam rathinam vidhi, shariram ratham evatu, buddhim tu saradam vidhi, manapragraham evacha. Then how jiva has to go back to Krishna, that is what is spoken there, considering this body as a chariot. Jiva or Arjuna is the passenger, body is the chariot, intelligence is the charioteer, and mind is that rein of the horses, senses are the horses. Indriyana hayanahu vishayam teshu gocharan almendriya manoyukto bhokte tyahur manishana. It goes like that. Yastu avijnanavan bhavadi yuktena manasa sada tasyendriyani avashyani dushtashwa iva sarathe. All these things we discussed when we discussed Bhagavad Gita. Yastu vijnanavan bhavadi yuktena manasa sada tasyendriyani avashyani sadashwa iva sarathe. And yastu avijnanavan bhavatya manaska sadashuchi tadasal paramabnodi samsaram chadi gachari. And yastu vijnanavan bhavadi sarmanaska sadashuchi sadumal padam abnodi yasmal bhuyona jayate. And finally, there is a mantra there. What does it say? Vijnana saradivyastu manapragrahavan mara sodhvana paramabnodi tadvishnu paramam padam. Then if your charioteer is an expert, and if he drives the chariot well, the chariot will reach the destination. That means your charioteer should be expert. It is in his hands everything. Similarly, a person who has proper discrimination inside and is able to control his mind, hold his mind, properly control his mind, and through the control of the mind, control his senses properly. And if he is leading his life little by little in that way, controlling his mind and controlling his senses, then that person, he will reach the destination at the end, or he crosses over the material existence. And that is what called Vijnana Sarathi. Vijnana Sarathi means one who has that proper power to discriminate and analyze things. So that Vijnana Sarathi is saying here also that that Dasya Yogam, we have seen here that Dasya Yogam, that he has no independence. Prahlada is saying he has no independence. So it is not after controlling the mind this is happening. What he has done is, like Arjuna did. Arjuna said, Chanjalam hi mana Krishna. My mind is not able to make the correct decision. I am not able to make the right decision. And what did he do? He said, I hand it over to you. When somebody does that, and if you have handed over the mind to someone, to like the way Arjuna has done to Krishna, then Krishna is called Vijnana Sarathi. Vijnana Sarathi means that Arjuna handed over running his life in Krishna's hands. This is what the Bhagavad Gita principle is spoken here in a different way. Prahlada is saying that. Prahlada is explaining the same principle of the Bhagavad Gita in a different way here. Arjuna handed over his life, which is his chariot, into Krishna's hands and told him, you run my life. Yes, to Vijnanavan Bhavati. So, therefore he is called Vijnana Sarathi. Krishna is called Vijnana Sarathi there. And when Arjuna did that, handing over to Krishna means taking Bhagavad Gita seriously. Isn't it? When Arjuna gave, what did Krishna decide at that time? That now I will talk to you the knowledge of the self, by which you will get over this problem. And that is how the spiritual knowledge was given to Arjuna. So similarly, Prahlada is also saying, mind and intelligence I have handed over to Krishna. I can't control it, because I don't know what to do with it. And what I should think in my mind, you make me think in that way. What I should think, you make me think in that way. And whatever discrimination I required in my intelligence, you create that discrimination in my intelligence. Because I have given it to you, you run this now. That is Arjuna's mood. Arjuna said that to Krishna, isn't it? I handed it over to you, now you decide what I should do. He said, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prabhanam. That is what this is, Prahlada is saying here. That, that this body is under your control. You control the body. Then, but you should not say, make a statement like that and sit. You should not do that. That every time inside, when you are acting in this world, you should be conscious of this fact. That body is doing its part, whatever is coming and thoughts are coming in that way. But the Antaryami inside, Krishna inside as Antaryami, till Krishna showing his control over our mind, his influence and control over our mind, that until Krishna shows his control over our senses, above our control on our own senses, till you feel that, till you feel Krishna is controlling your, showing his control on our mind, above our control on our own mind. Till Krishna shows us his control on our senses, above our own control on our senses. Similarly, till Krishna shows us his control on our intelligence, above our own control on our own intelligence. Up to that time, you have to keep doing this, what we are doing at the moment, isn't it? Up to that point, you have to keep controlling yourself inside, not allow, you have to keep doing this Dasya Yoga. You see, it is up to that point you have to do it. Dasya Yoga. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Dasya Yoga means, let the mind go anywhere it like. Let the intelligence go anywhere like. But at the same time, when the mind and intelligence are like that, still you are saying to yourself that I have no freedom. Whatever Krishna has given to me, I have to accept that. Like a servant, you have to behave at that time. All the time. And by doing that, what's happening is, ahankaram is not rising inside. Ahankaram is not rising inside. So by making this statement, what I have mentioned before, we shouldn't stay quiet with that. But continuously inside, you should say to yourself, this is my situation. I am accepting that. I am not questioning what Krishna has decided to give it to me in this distress. I am not questioning that. He has given it to me. He has got the right to do what he has got, what he has done. I don't have the right to question that. That understanding inside. Similarly, whatever position Krishna has put me in, I am accepting that. I am not complaining about it. And also, I can only do what I can in my capacity, where I have been put into. And whatever he makes me to do it, I am doing that. That's all. That means, in all levels, you are taking a surrendered nature. Accepting and whatever Krishna has decided, you are accepting that. This has to continue up to this point. Which point? Till you feel that your control, what you had in your mind, above that, Krishna starts showing his control over your mind. Similarly, above your control on your own senses, Krishna starts showing his control over your senses. Similarly, you were having your faith in your intelligence before. which you have surrendered, you have no faith in your own intelligence, and you are living like that, till up to the point Krishna starts showing to you his control on your intelligence, up to that point. So that means without taking full control of your body and the mind, without taking the full control of the body and the mind, till that force which is beyond the body and the mind is taking control of our body and the mind. And otherwise, up to that point, you are not safe. You are not safe up to that. Because you can never trust mind. We know that, is it not? We say, and also, if you have analyzed yourself, you will know what it is like, the mind. The mind is like that, mind's nature. See, for example, sometimes you see, you feel peaceful inside, the mind is making some thoughts, bringing some thoughts in, and based on those thoughts, you are feeling some happiness inside. You feel you are making the right decision. But you know very well that state of what you are experiencing in the mind at that time, which just has happened like that. See, one morning you got up and you were felt peaceful inside, and you were able to think about some of the problems in the household life, and you were able to make some decisions based on that thoughts, what came through your mind at that point. You were able to do that. But but the problem is, you won't get that mood if you want it. Only once in a way it happens like that. You feel some peace inside to make a decision. Otherwise, most of the time, you are making just decision after decision after decision, and you are running after that. But rarely you will see this peace inside, to feel shanti inside and able to look through the whole situation properly. What it is indicating to us is that even that shanti inside to make a proper decision with the mind is not in your control. Is not in your control. And sometimes, say, you have chanted Hare Krishna. Sometimes people do that. When they have a serious problem, they say, we'll see and chant Hare Krishna for a while, 16 rounds or 32 rounds, depending on the size of the problem. And then after that, there will be some shanti inside. And then I will think about the problem and make the decision after that. People do all these kind of things. And they have discussed all these things in books also. You will see some of our leaders have written those books. So, the problem is that then he does not realize that the decision to chant and to get the mind in a peaceful state, even that is not in your control. Only if Krishna gives it to you, you will have the shanti. You would have chanted 16 rounds. But whether you will become peaceful or not, that's not in your control. That is in Krishna's control. People think all these things, is it not? That when we have some serious difficulties, we chant. And we chant seriously that time. Because the problem is serious. So therefore, we chant seriously. And we think that after chanting a lot, probably we'll find some solution to the problem. Our material mind, you can never trust. And you are thinking that by doing that, you will get the right solution from that problem, isn't it? But even that is not in our control. That is the main point. Why? Because Krishna is saying here, in the Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna puts that to us? Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yantrarudhani Mayaya. That one verse answers that. Ishvara sarva bhudani. In all living entities, I am situated in the heart as Antaryami, as Ishvara. Sarva bhudani hriddeshe. Arjuna, tishtadi, I am sitting there. And my job is to make you go on this roller coaster. And you, with your plans, bring with your 16 rounds and your finding shanti and decision making. You play your game, I'll play my game. Let's see who wins. That is Krishna's mode. It is not that simple, because we think we are all so independent in our thinking. We think everything is under our control. That is the problem. Nothing is in our control. What Vedam Shastram all has to say to us is this one thing. You have very, very... People ask this question. How much freedom do we have? That's the first question, isn't it? That we say that... what is that question? It's a very interesting question. $1 million question that is, it's been going on, asked from the very beginning. From 1966, devotees are asking this question. How much independence we have, isn't it? Are we... we say that we have a minute independence. How minute is that minute? That's the question, isn't it? That's the question. How minute is that minute? We have, that means 1%, 2%, 10%. They want to know how much is me in the decision making, how much is Krishna in the decision making. And the answer to that is that verse. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hrdeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarudhani maya. Not only me and you, all the living entities, Krishna is saying. I am controlling them. Indrarudhani Maya. Why? In the this big cogwheel of Maya. Maya is my, this, what do they call it, the big giant wheel, Maya. I put them, put you all into that, and I'll keep, Maya will do the work, and I'll watch that. So, where is the freedom? Where is the freedom? What we're talking about? Where is that freedom? You don't see any freedom in anything what you do. Either eating, you don't have a freedom. Sleeping, you don't have a freedom. Getting angry, you don't have a freedom. To smile, you don't have a freedom. Digestion is concerned, no freedom. Breathing is concerned, no freedom. Karma, you have no freedom. Then where is the freedom? Where is this freedom we talk about? So that is why Krishna is saying here that therefore there is only one option. What did Krishna say? Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada yal prasadal param shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. What Prahlada is saying here is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Is there any difference? Notice that. What Prahlada has to say is exactly the same thing. So, spiritual intelligence is this. This is spiritual intelligence. Krishna has spoken something in the Bhagavad Gita that those two words, as you can see next to each other, Ishara sarvabhudanam hrdeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. Immediately after that, Krishna says, Tameva sharanam gacha. Surrender then and there to Antaryami inside, because I am there as Ishvara. That is intelligence. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada yal prasadal param shandim. And if he is pleased with you, you will have shandi. Sthanam prapsasi shashvadam. You will reach that state of eternal happiness. You will get there if he is pleased inside. But instead, if you go and keep making your own plans and start solving your own problems, life after life, we keep going through this cycle one day after the other. So that is why those verses are important. And that's exactly what Prahlada is saying here. He's saying here, Yasma priya priya viyoga sa yoga janma shokagnina sagalayo nishudehyamanam dukkha ushadam tadapi dukkham adadhyaham bhumin brahmami vadameta vadasya yogam. Your surrender is more solution to the problem than using my mind and intelligence and trying to solve the problem. That is what Prahlada had to say, and that's what Krishna had to say. There's nothing difference. Absolutely the same thing. Both had to say the one thing to us. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhamaha davagni nirvabanam shreyakaigava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam purnamrda swadhanam sarvabna savanam param vijayade shri krishna sanghe uttanam Namnamagari bahudani jasarva shakti tatrarpidani vidasmaranena gadam edadrishita vagrubha bhagavan mamavi durdeiva medrishamiha janinanuragaham tranarabhishuni jainam tarorabhi sahishnuna amaninam anadena kirtaniya sadahari nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavidamba jagadishakamai mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavada bhakti rahe dugitvai ayi nandadanu jagingaram patidamam shame bhavambudo కృపయాదవ పాదపంగజస్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిందయ నయనం గళదశుధారయ వదనం గద్గదరుద్ధయా గిరా పులగైర్నిచితం కదా వభూ తవ నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయిదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయిదం శూన్యాయిదం జగత్సర్వం గోవింద విరహే నమే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరతాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం అర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యదా తదా వా విదదాతులం వదో మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయేవ నాపరాం. యస్మాత్ ప్రియా ప్రియ వియోగ సయోగ జన్మ శోకాగ్నినా సకలయోనిషు దహ్యమానాం దుఃఖౌషధం తదపి దుఃఖమతధ్యాహం భూమన్ భ్రమామి వదమే తవ దాస్య యోగం. సో వాట్ కృష్ణ హస్ సెయిడ్ ఇన్ ది భగవద్గీత ఈజ్ సేమ్, ఇస్ నాట్? ఈశ్వర సర్వభూతానాం హృదయశే అర్జున తిష్టతి బ్రాహ్మణ సర్వభూతాని యంత్రారూఢాని మాయయా తమేవ శరణం గచ్చ తమేవ శరణం గచ్చ సర్వభావేన భారత ప్రసాదాత్ పరాం శాంతిం స్థానం ప్రాప్స్యసి శాశ్వతం. హ్యాండింగ్ ఓవర్ జస్ట్ లైక్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఎ షాఫర్ టు డ్రైవ్ యువర్ కార్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ ఈస్ ఎ వెరీ గుడ్ యూ క్యాన్ సీట్ అట్ ద బ్యాక్ సీట్ అండ్ స్లీప్ డ్యూరింగ్ దట్ టైమ్. అండ్ వెరస్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఎస్పెషలీ వెన్ యూ హ్యావ్ టాక్సీస్ ఇన్ ఇండియా, దాట్స్ వన్ ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ విల్ కమ్ టు యూ అబౌట్ ద డ్రైవర్. ఈస్ యూ క్యాన్ టేక్ యూ క్యాన్ ఫినిష్ యువర్ లైఫ్ విత్ దాట్ ఆర్ యూ మే కమ్ బ్యాక్ యువర్ లైఫ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్. So, if you get a driver whom you have little doubts and you ask him that how long have you been driving car, he says, so this is the first time. Then what will you feel? It's the same experience, isn't it? Similarly, everything what we give it to the mind is like that. With full confidence, you can't say about this mind. It's like this taxi driver you are hiring. You can't, with full confidence, you can't say that what will come out from the mind is all going to be the right thing that will come out. Therefore, Dasya Yogam. Therefore, Dasya Yogam means that recognizing that you are Krishna's servant, Dasa, in other words, and telling him that you look after me, you look after me. And the best way Maharshi put it was, Unyishtam enyishtam. What you like, that's what I like. That means you reach the very depth of it. You are telling Krishna, whatever you like, that's what I like. Then there is no problem, isn't it? Whatever you do, that's fine. In other words, saying to Krishna that, whatever you like, I like that. This is what you like, okay, I will also like the same thing, in that way. So, whichever way you run my life, I will run in that way, in the same way I live my life. Because on my own, what I like, I can't do it anyway. So what is the point? I may have different tastes, likings and dislikings in this world. I will do like this, that, this way, that way. And whatever it may be, wherever you put me, and whichever way you like to run that, that is called a Dasya Yogam. That is what he is saying there. Bhoman Brahmami Vadame Tava Dasya Yogam. So here you notice says that Prahlada is calling Narasimham as Bhuma. Bhuman. 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 Brahmami Vadame Tava Dasya Yogam. Tava Dasya Yogam. Because earlier Tadadhyaham says that I have this problem, Prahlada is saying, that when I, through your different forms, what you are presenting to me, you are confusing me, Prahlada says. But don't try that with me, he's saying. I don't get confused. Because you come to me in front of Narasimham now. But you are not Narasimham, you are somebody else. Prahlada's point is that. And you can come any time in any form, whichever you like it. And don't perplex me or baffle me with these different forms what you are bringing in front of me. So he says here that when I see these different forms you are manifesting in front of me, I am getting a little bit Brahma. Brahma means confusion in me. And therefore, instead of calling the form of Narasimham, he is calling that power inside Narasimham, which is Bhuman. Bhuman is another word for Brahman or Antaryami, inside. Narasimham is Antaryami, in other words, which is Krishna. Krishna has come as Narasimham, isn't it? So Prahlada is saying, I am not confused. When we say Krishna, you have to remember, referring to Antaryami inside. That it is in that way he is addressing Narasimham. He says to Narasimham, that Brahman Bhadami Vadametava Rasi Yogam, that Swarupam is called Bhuman. Swarupam. Why? Bhuman actually means big. Bhuman means big. Alpam means small. Alpam means small. Bhuman means akhandam. Big, huge, massive. That is what is called Bhuman. That means unlimited. Which means where there is no dvaitam, where is no duality, it is called Bhuman. Bhumava. In the Chandogya Upanishad you will see this word Bhumava. So here he is saying, give me the servitude of your Bhuman. Dasoham, dasoham. That is how it begins, the relationship begins. Dasoham, I am your servant, I am your servant. And after a while what will happen is, da will go and become soham. Soham, 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 soham. Da soham, da will go and become soham, soham. Soham, soham means you are me. I am not different from you. This is how you move from dvaitam to advaitam. In dvaitam, you are da soham. That is why in spiritual life, beginning is all dvaitam. Everybody is in dvaita state. Nobody is advaiti in the beginning. It is only when you come to that state, that servitude, da goes away. And dasoham becomes soham, which is in an elevated state, that it is in the level of the soul advaitam is. Dvaitam is in the level of the body. Dvaitam is always level of body. When that bodily level relationship goes away, and you start recognizing Antaryami inside, and realizing that Antaryami is inside, Narasimha Murti is Krishna, and that Antaryami is the same Antaryami inside me, oneness comes there. That is what he is saying, talking about here. That he is not different from me, therefore I am not frightened. Because the same Antaryami inside me is inside Narasimham also. So who is frightened about whom? There is nobody to get frightened about somebody else, isn't it? That is the time when that separation goes away. And then that means when our own ego, when we have offered that in our vyavaharam to Krishna. In Vyavaharam, this all has to happen. That in Vyavaharam, it is difficult to get rid of the ego. Ego is very powerful in the Vyavaharam. And that, the way to come out of that is, you have to take this position as a servant, or a devotee, or another great personality says, you are Yantram, I am Yantri. Ramakrishna says this. You are Yantram, I am Yantri. You are operating the machine, I am the machine getting operated. You are Yantri, I am Yantram, you are Yantri. I am the machine, you are the operator. That attitude. I am the machine, this body is a machine, I am the machine, you are the operator. In that way. Or like Prahlada says, you are the master, I am the servant, dasa, or a devotee. So, whichever way you take it, either as a servant or a machine or whichever way, somehow or the other, that consciousness has to come inside in the beginning. And so, and this ahangaram also, ahangaram is in different ways, it's operating in different levels in us, isn't it? Some of the ahangaram, if you say like that, then you won't suffer a lot from the ahangaram. Problems of ahangaram, you won't suffer a lot. Otherwise, ahangaram will give you a lot of trouble. Ahangaram will give you a lot of trouble. For example, ahangaram. There is ahangaram which gives you distress in life, right? And then there is ahangaram which is very selfishness. It comes in the form of selfishness. And there is another ahangaram which gives you a lot of miseries in this world. So, somehow or the other, that this ahangaram, you have to bring it down and make it mellowed. And that is possible by offering that to Krishna. And if you live like that and stay in the, but ahankara will still be there, and if you live in this world in that way, then there won't be much of a problem in this world. And that means to remain that as a servant of Krishna or a devotee of Krishna, whichever way you take that position, doesn't matter. But that mood, that bhavam is necessary. Bhavam is necessary. Therefore, Prahlada is saying to Krishna, Narasimham, that there is various kinds of distresses in this world, isn't it? I will not ask you that you should sort all that out for me and free me from these material problems itself. But you give me this Dasya Yogam, then I am safe. Because I should never forget that you are my only shelter. Please establish that inside me strongly. And then you can do whatever you like with me and give me that bhakti at your feet. And in that way, let the love develop in my heart. Give me that bhakti. Prahlada is begging to Narasimham in that way. You can see as this Prahlada Stuti is progressing, how Prahlada's relationship with Narasimham is getting stronger. And all the arguments what Prahlada is putting forward has made Narasimham to respond in such a way to him later. And that is why he says to Prahlada at the end, Prahlada Badra Badram De. He said, there will never be another devotee like you for me in this world. Imagine a certificate like that. Then it is very much similar to what Krishna told Uddhava. What did Krishna say to Uddhava? That seeing that Uddhava's surrender and the heart, Krishna says to Uddhava, what did he say? He says, we look, beautiful, nobody has said this like this too in the 14th chapter. To get this certificate from Krishna is very, very difficult. Extremely difficult. Impossible, you can say. To say this, Krishna says that, Natadha me priyatama, there is nobody dear to me. 11, 14, 15. Natadha me priyatama, there is no one dear to me like you. Almayoni nashankara. Almayoni is Brahma. Brahma himself is not dear to me. Na Shankara. Shiva is not dear to me. Na cha sangarshano. Balaram is not dear to me. Like you. Na cha sangarshano. Na Shri. Rukmini is not dear to me. Naiva Alpa. Even me, myself is not so dear to me. Yadha Bhavan. As much as you are dear to me. He says. So, from this you can see what Krishna thinks about Uddhava, isn't it? That Uddhava's consciousness or the surrender, the bhakti, everything. Otherwise, Krishna would not have given Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava. He found that there is one person qualified who can take this knowledge of the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, Uddhavadesham. That is why, Natathame Priyatama Almayo Nirna Shankara Naja Sangarshanamo Nashri Naiva Alma Jayatha Bhavan. Nobody, he says. And in the third canto, you will see, no Uddhavon Abhimanyunam, he says. There is nobody higher than Uddhava in bhakti. So, from there, in a similar way, Prahlada had this relationship with Narasimha. When bhakti develops in the heart to that level, how from other side, from Krishna's side, how the response comes from there. So, that is why he says here. So, then he says, so, here, go back to 14. Tadyascha manyum asirascha hatastvayadya modeda sadhura vivrischika sarpahatya lokascha narvrdimita pradiyandi sarve rupam rasimha vibhayaya janasmarandi naham vibhema jidadedi bhayanagasya jihvarka netra brugudira sabhogradam shtral അന്ധ്രസ്രജക്ഷരജകേസരശംഖകർണ നൃഹ്രാദബീദതികിഭാഗരിധിന്നഖാഗ്രാല് ത്രസ്തോസ്മ്യഹം കൃപണവത്സലദുസ്സഹോഗ്രം സംസാരചക്രകഥനാൽഗ്രസദാം പ്രണീത ബദ്ധസ്വകർമ്മഭി ഉഷത്തമതേ ഘിമൂലം പ്രീതോപവർഗശരണം ഹോയസേ കദാനു യസ്മാപ്രിയാപ്രിയവിയോഗസയോഗജന്മ ശോകാഗ്നിനാ സകലയോനിഷു ദഹ്യമാന ദുഃഖൌഷധം തദപി ദുഃഖമദധിയാഹം ഭൂമൻ ഭ്രമാമി വദമേതവദാസ്യ യോഗം. പ്രഹ്ലാദസ്തുതി. പ്രഹ്ലാദസ്തുതി ഈസ് ഫുൾ ഓഫ് ഭക്തി, ഫുൾ ഓഫ് ഭക്തി. ആൻഡ് among all the സ്തുതീസ് ഇൻ ദി ഭാഗവതം, ഇൻ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം, വൺ ഓഫ് ദ ടോപ് സ്തുതീസ് ഈസ് ദിസ് പ്രഹ്ലാദ സ്തുതി. വൺ ഓഫ് ദി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് സ്തുതി ഈസ് ദിസ്. വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ഏർലിയർ ദാറ്റ് നരസിംഹമൂർത്തി ഹാസ് ഷോൺ ഈസ് ഉഗ്രരൂപം, that form, what he had, frightening form. And Prahlada is saying to him, Narasimha Murthy, that I am not frightened seeing this form, he is saying. But all the other demigods who are present there, they were getting frightened seeing that form. But I am not frightened. But but I am frightened, he says. When do I get frightened, Prahlada says there, when I see this material life. Material existence, that is what frightens me, says Prahlada. When I see this world, I get frightened. But when I see you, Narasimham, I am not getting frightened. I am not getting frightened. Why should I get frightened when I see you, says him. Because whichever form you come in front of me, and whichever name or form you come in front of me, it all looks very beautiful, he says to Narasimham. Because compared to that samsara chakram, that wheel, giant wheel which is rotating, if I go anywhere, that wheel catches me and puts me into that wheel, puts me into the wheel. And I don't know how to escape from that wheel. The wheel is rotating, the cycle of birth and death. Baddha, he says, Baddha means in bondage, that I am bound in that wheel, completely tied down to that. Karma is controlling me, binding me. I do not know how to break up from that and come out. That is what he said. Ushattamate ingrimoolam. Says there, isn't it? Ushattamate ingrimoolam. Yeah. Baddha swakarma bhi. 16th verse. Baddha swakarma bhi ushattamate ingrimoolam. Prithobavarga sharanam hoyase kadanum. Ushattama means you are continuously present in my heart, and you are showing your form there, presence there. Andaryami's presence, he's saying. He's saying, the sun, the moon, the stars, none of them have that same illumination like the Andaryami has in the heart. Because Andaryami is shining so clearly to me. Why? Because of the awareness. This awareness is more closer to us than the shining of the sun or the moon in the sky. Sun and moon, you need the eyes to see. But even without the senses, awareness exists. That is why he is saying that. Baddha so karma bi ushattama. The word ushattama is coming from that. Ushattama means that you are present here all the time with full force, shining there. Isn't it? With such a powerful way you are shining there. And even while shining like that, without knowing you and without experiencing you, I am living in this world. See Prahlada's explanations? Prahlada is saying, even though you are present there as Andaryami, shining 24/7 as they say, all the time in us. Actually 24/7 applies only to Andaryami, nothing else. 24/7 is only for Andaryami. So Andaryami is shining like this in us all the time, but I am not aware of that. And I am thinking, therefore he is saying here, instead of knowing you who is present inside, not knowing you and not experiencing you, I am living in this world. Ushattama. Ushattama means always shining. So, and that is, Ushattama means, Prakasham is light and its most superlative form is Ushattama. Superlative form, superlative degree. That means, you can't shine more than that. There's no other, it's at highest limit. You got there. And that's what he's saying there. And you see in the Kathopanishad how Yama says this. Yama says there. You'll see at the very end, more or less to the end. Yeah, 15th verse in the last chapter. Na tatra suryo bhadi, na chandra taragam, nema vidyido bhadi, kutoyam agni, tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. That exactly that statement is here, in another way spoken. You can't separate Upanishads from Prahlada Stuti. It's all one. Knowledge is spoken in different ways, from devotee's angle, from the jnani's angle, and from the Krishna's angle. In so many ways it's spoken. But the message is more important. The message is carries the weight, isn't it? So here you can see the Kathopanishad is saying, na tatra suryo bhadi, na chandra taragam. The sun is not shining. If Antaryami is not there, the sun cannot shine. The moon cannot shine if Antaryami is not there. Nema vidyido bhadi, electricity won't be there if Antaryami is not there behind that. Kutoyam agni, a fire cannot work without Antaryami inside. Tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam. Because Antaryami is shining in all these places, they are all functioning. Sun is showing, giving its light, moon is shining, sun is shining, stars are shining, and everything is shining here. Why? Because of this. Tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam. The same Antaryami inside me in the form of fire awareness is present in all those places, in all those entities as well. Tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam. Therefore, it says, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. Tasya bhasa, because he is shining, all others are shining. If he is not there, he is not shining, nobody will be shining here. There will be no sun, no moon, no stars, nothing. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. This is Rishi's conclusion. Rishis are saying this to us. This is what is to be taken seriously. That Kathopanishad says, sun is not shining, moon is not shining, stars are not shining. And where is this fire going to shine? Fire also cannot shine, he says. Fire also cannot shine. So, that alpa prakasham, or the light that's coming, when we say light, what it means, that potency of the alpa, everything else we come to know about it. If the alpa, Antaryami is not there, this awareness is not there, how will you know the existence of all these things? You won't know that, would you? You won't be able to know the existence of the whole creation. Because tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. That is what Kathopanishad is saying here. So, in that way, you are present in my heart, says Prahlada. So, even though you are present like that, why am I not experiencing that? Prahlada is saying this to him. That in spite of the fact that you are present like this inside me, but still I don't have the experience of you in me. So, only reason for that, my mind is constantly going out into the world. Therefore, and because of that, I am caught up in several distresses as well. You show the mercy and show it to me, show some compassion for me. And unless you show that, it will not happen. It will not happen. So you can see self-realization, how Prahlada is saying to Narasimha, isn't it? Prahlada is taking our position and talking this, which we discussed yesterday. Why it is so, is it not? Yasmat priya priya viyoga sa yoga janma shoga agnina sakala yoni shuddhyamana sakala yoni shuddhyamana. Means, how many wombs I had gone through previously, how many different wombs I have gone through, and all the samskaram, all the vasanas, what you have picked up in all that different wombs is with us still. It has not left us. It has not left us. All animals' samskaram is in us. Because we have lived like an elephant, we have lived like a tiger, like a lion, like a snake. So when they say, oh, you're a black snake, there's nothing wrong in that. Because to some extent it is true also. That vasana is inside us. All of us have that, isn't it? So all animal samskaram is in us. You can't ignore that. It is inside us. Once there's a story about this, that it is in the Panchantra. This story is there. That there were two monkeys in the forest. So one monkey tells the other monkey that I've been living in this forest for such a long time. Let me go to the village where human beings live. Let me go and see them, what they are like, he says. So, and how they are, how they live in the villages and towns, how they are living there. So I'll go to the city and the villages and see how they are. So all the animals in the forest told this monkey, don't go there, because there is in the city there is a species called very dangerous species, he said. Referring to us. It's a very dangerous species there in the cities and the villages, he said. Don't go anywhere closer to them, he said. So this monkey didn't hear, listen to it. He said, no, so I'll go and see what it is, he said. So he said, what's the harm if we go there? At least I'll go and make a visit and see what they're like and come back, he said. Saying this, this monkey went to the city. Monkey went to the city. After 10 days, he came back to the forest. When he came back, he was very frightened. He was so frightened. So everybody, all other animals, asked this monkey, why, what happened? How was it? He said, when you go there. So, how was things? He said. So, all the other animals asked him. So, this monkey says to him, somehow or the other I managed to escape from there. He says, from that lot in the city. He's saying there, because in the forest, he said, monkey's answer, he says, it's very interesting. Monkey says, in the forest, if I see an animal, I'll know how he will behave, his nature. He has only one nature in him. But this thing called in the world, who is living in the city, his nature you can't predict, he said. Because all different species, vasana, he has collected and kept it inside. Today he can act like a snake, tomorrow he can act like a tiger, and day after he can act like a cow. So all the different vasanas are in the human species. So they says to him, that he says, that if I see a tiger or a leopard here, I know how a tiger will react or a leopard will react. But, or a bear, I know how it will react. But this human body, very difficult to predict. He said, how it will react. And it can become a tiger 1 minute, or a leopard another minute, or a bear, or it can become an elephant also, if it wants. Because this truth, we have collected all the vasanas from different bodies, and is keeping it in our karana sharira. It is present there. That is what he's saying here. So, all the great mahatmas, therefore they say this. This one principle, only very thoughtful people understand this, that how important this is in our daily life. When we manifest different swabhavam in us, where is it coming from? It is the different vasanas what we have collected from different bodies in different lifetimes. Different lifetimes, isn't it? So, therefore, there is some interesting nice songs about that. That I've been a grass, I've been a worm, I've been a tree, I've been an animal, all kinds of things. Puranams, it says that. Prahlada also says the same thing. Sakala yonishu dahyamana. That's the word he has used there. Have you noticed? Shokagnina sakala yonishu dahyamana. That dahyamana means that in all these different bodies you have been burned. You've been burned through all those different bodies, and because of that, that vasana has come from that body into me. So, so there's another explanation to that. Sridhara Swami mentions there that in all these different bodies, seeing all these different things happening, who is experiencing this? That's you, is it not? Prahlada is saying, you are present as Sarvatma Bhavam. This is looking at in the platform of Sarvatma. That means as the Andaryami of everybody, you are present in everyone's heart and present in this way, and you are burning yourself. So, therefore, in all living entities, present in them and experiencing the miseries of material life, who is experiencing that? Birth, death, Samyogam, Vyogam, that means coming into contact with and getting separated. In different lifetimes, we get different people to associate with us. In this life, we have got one wife, one children, children, husband, wife, parents and all. We leave this body, we go to next body, we get another set of parents. Another wife, another husband, another set of children. We leave that, we go into next body, continue this cycle further, isn't it? So, in this lifetime, we lose all this set of parents, this set of children, this wife, this husband, everything. And in the next life, we get another set, new, fresh. Fresh set of everything fresh. Husband, wife, children, everything fresh. Isn't it? So, here you are losing everything, and the next life you are gaining some more. So, this is that burning process. That's what he's saying. Shokagnina priya priya viyogasa yoga janma shokagnina. From taking this birth and death, this is what's happening. This is the misery of birth and death. Is it not? You have to develop a new set of relationship with a new set of people. And then, by the time it stays for some time, then whole relationships are broken. Gone. All gone. Another life again begins. Another wife, another husband, another parents, another set of children. And you have to live with them again. Even if you live in the human body. So, so he says here, that itself is the fire. Shoka agnina, that agni, sakala yonishu dehyamanam. In all the yonis, it's burning you in this way. So, if you ask this question, is there a solution for this problem? If you ask that question, that the answer is, better than the remedy is the problem. Problem is better than the remedy, because dukkha aushadam tadapi dukkham adadhyaham. If you find a solution to this problem, that itself becomes poisonous later. Becomes poisonous later. Why? Because remedy itself becomes a big problem. That is what he is saying here, which we discussed before. Remember? When we discussed that, I mentioned that the greatest insight into life is that one line. Which one? Dukkhaushadam tadapi dukkham adadhyaham. It's an amazing conclusion that is. Only thing is, when you read it, you may perhaps think, what does it all mean? Why is it so concerned? Prahlada is saying like this, isn't it? But as I said before, that adadhyaha, what it means is this, that dhi means intelligence. Dhi means intelligence. So, dhi, when it doesn't have tat, tatadhyaham is saying. When tad is not there, dhi has no use. Tad is what? Antaryami. The self. When atma is not there, the dhi is useless. Dhi is useless. Dhi can only function properly if Antaryami is guiding that. Right? So, tadaddhi, that Vedam says to us, we are tat. Tatvam asi. You, tat, is tvam. Asi, is one. But that understanding, and that understanding I am losing now, when I accept the body. Accept the body, I lose that. That means, I forget my swarupam. Tattvamasi, that swarupam, tattvamasyadi mahavakyam. It is the final word in the shastram. Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi is the final word in the Upanishads. Prajnanam brahmam, aham brahmasmi, I am atman brahma, tattvamasi. So, tattvamasi is the last statement. That is why, which comes, I think it is in the Chandogya Upanishad, in the 6th chapter. And that chapter is famous because of this mahavakyam. Chapter is famous. So, you can see here that tatsvarupam, I have forgotten atadhi, that means I started identifying with my body. When my intelligence is not good, what will happen? I'll identify with my body. And because I identify with my body, my ahankaram gets stronger. And when my ahankaram gets stronger, I realize that I have all these distresses in life, and I try to get rid of the distresses, but at the same time, I identify with my body. And therefore, what is happening now, I am identifying with my body strongly, but at the same time, I want to be free from all distress as well. It's a difficult situation. That is not possible. That is what Krishna is saying. That you are identifying with your body strongly, and then you want to have problems for all the problems of material life, isn't it? That is not possible, because the very nature of the body is distress. Very nature of the body is distress. So, reason is that I have identified with the vastu what I am not. I identified that because I identified with something what I am not, the punishment for that is the suffering what we have in life. You see? That is how it is. Because I have done something and I have identified with something what I am not, the punishment for that is this suffering. For this suffering. And therefore it cannot be avoided. There is no solution for that, says Prahlada. That's what Prahlada is saying here. This is another translation commentary on this, on that verse. These verses are so much reflects our life, and therefore they are interesting. And when you start realizing these things, what Prahlada has spoken, and you will yourself start looking to your own life with this understanding, you can see they are all 100% truth. The rishis were so compassionate and kind to us that through all these personalities, Prahlada, Narasimham and all that, they are trying to tell us something. What is that? Look, don't waste your life trying to solve the problems here. It will never get solved. The only thing you can do is to take this knowledge of the Shastram and come to your identity, who you are. Realize the self and free yourself from the problem. That is the answer to the problem. All other solutions are not solutions. They are patch-up work. The only solution is, all Mahalpas will say exactly the same thing. Maharshi said the same thing, Prabhupada says the same thing. So the only solution to the problem, real solution to the problem, is realizing the self. All others is patchwork. All other things are patchwork. That is why in spiritual life, they don't give any value to opening hospitals, schools, and all other kinds of philanthropic activities. That's all ignorance from the viewpoint of the Shastram. Is it not? This foundation, that foundation, everybody, these big, big leaders, they do all these things. Huge amounts of money. They have not come to the right understanding yet. They want to control the AIDS, they want to control the cancer, they want to control the all other diseases. And this is what is working through, and that too coming from the most so-called most intelligent people of this world, who have made billions, isn't it? And they have their own foundation, this foundation, that foundation. And you have noticed all these rich people, talking about rich, they are not ordinary rich, filthy rich as they call it, isn't it? Filthy rich, that's the category they belong to. They have got billions sitting in the bank, they don't know what to do with it. And they are talking to each other. They say, look, I have started this charity or this foundation, and this is what our goals are, and we should all work together. Again, they want to work together, each other. That isn't gone. This working together, clubbing together, it's all in material life. It is a tendency. But when it comes to spiritual life, it is your exit route from here you have to look at. And that's the point. He says, Yasma priya priya viyoga sa yoga janma shokagmina sagala yonishu dekhyamana dukkha ushadam tadavi dukkha madadhyaham bhuman brahmami vadameta vadasya yogam. So, that is what he is saying here. That Prahlada is saying here, that if we want to identify with the body, and if I don't want any distress in this world, that is not possible. That is not possible, because that is the contract. That is the contract. Because I have identified with something what I am not, and then the punishment for that is this suffering in this world. Suffering in this world. And you can't avoid that, says Prahlada. So, Prahlada says to Narasimham that without the knowledge of the self, it will not be possible to come out of this material existence, because the reason for distress is ignorance. Reason for distress is ignorance. So, for distress, we are trying to solve the problem. With distress, you are looking for a solution. Or for distress, you want a relief. But what you do not know that is that for distress, The cause of the distress is ignorance, ajnanam, avidya. That is the cause of that. If you look into Narayaniyam, it is spoken very well there. Melpathur, when he started writing Sriman Narayaniyam, every day he used to write 10 verses. In the beginning, at the end of each chapter, he was suffering from arthritis heavily. 27-year-old person, young man, full of health. His spiritual master fell ill. Out of his love for the spiritual master, he decided to transfer the disease from spiritual master's body to the disciple, his body. He accepted the body. There is a process called karma vibhagam. Karma vibhagam means, through that process, you can transfer the disease from one body to another body. There, Achyuta Pisharadi, his spiritual master, has many disciples. So the disciples felt very sad when the spiritual master fell very ill. Spiritual master was old. Achyuta Pisharadi taught them a lot of things. If you look at his life and how he conducted his spiritual life, how he looked after his disciples, you will be shocked the way, the love and the feeling he had for the disciples. And Achyuta Pisharadi discussed Shastram, taught Upanishads, Vedantam, other Prayana Granthams, everything to his disciples. They were very fond of him. But he was in his 60s at that time. And he was ill. He was ill. This is not a low old story, about 400 years, 500 years story back. This is. He fell very ill and he got this arthritis, severe arthritis in the body. They tried all kinds of remedy available in the Ayurveda. That was then the prominent one. It didn't work. Ayurveda has some effective treatment for arthritis. Many, many people get cured from Ayurveda in arthritis, right? So they tried that, none of them worked. Finally, the disciples met together all and they decided that if one of us can accept that, we will make this arrangement because there is a karmam available for that, to transfer that illness from the spiritual master's body to the person whomever is going to accept that disease. So when the disciples were all discussing each other, Melpathur said to them, I will accept that. He was ready and he was 27 years old. That means at the peak of your youth, isn't it? Best of your life in this body. Otherwise at the age of 27 to get a disease like that is very difficult. Especially with the weather conditions and the healthy life they led at that time. So, this Melpathur, after he got this sickness, he comes and he starts writing Narayaniyam. And in each chapter you will see at the end, he is saying to Krishna that please release me from this illness. He is praying to Krishna for that. Krishna is listening to all these things. Up to almost like 92 chapters, there's total 100 chapters in that, almost till 92 chapters, this prayer continued. When he reached that 93rd chapter, he says to him that he says to Krishna that if this disease goes away, another one will come. Another one will come. Therefore, instead of curing my disease, please cure this problem I have, my identification with this body. If you can get rid of that, that will be the correct solution. And that is why that famous verse in the Narayaniyam, you will see, Hihi me deha moham teja pavana puradishayal prema heto dehe vitte kalatra dishuja vivasharam tolpadam vismarandi soyam vanne shunova. Soyam vanne shunova paramiha paradam sambradam cha akshi karnam tuk jihvadyam vigarshandi avashamataida kopinatval padabje. Manpato says to Krishna that he may dehamoham. In two verses he says to him, dehamoham. Dehamoham means identification with the body. Dehamoham. To think that I am this deham. If you can take that out of me, teja pavanapuradi shayal premaheto, that if you take this out of me, what else is that? Because of this dehamoham, what happened? Gehe, Vitte, Kalatra, Dishuja, Vivashadam, Tolpadam, Vismarandi. I got stuck with my wife, with my children, with my home, and with all the affection, love, everything, what I have for them. I am stuck in that situation. And Patur said, Gehe, Vitte, Kalatra, Dishu, Cha Vivashadam, Tolpadam, Vismarandi. Because of that, what happened? I've forgotten you. And this thing, what I'm identifying with this body, what is it? Soyam vane shunova. One day, it will get burned. It is put for the fire. Shunova, or the dogs will eat that. Paramiha varadasa ambradam, sambradam cha akshi karnam. And when it is living, and when I am with it, what does it do to me? Akshi karnam tukha jihva. Adhyam, these five senses, vigarshandi, it makes me go in all directions to looking for happiness. That's what it does to me. Vigarshandi, avashamatayita, and in that process I'm tired. The senses are dictating to me, do this, all different senses, different things. They expect me to do all these different things to make me happy, but I'm not becoming happy. Avashamatayita. But none of them are telling me, Kopina Twal Padabje. Nobody is asking me to come to you. None of these senses. All they are doing to me is to go into the world and look for sense gratification. That's what it says to me. So even Melpatur realized this at the end. Initially he said to Krishna, cure my illness, cure my disease. In every chapter you will see. But the last point he started saying that, that is not the real solution, because if this disease goes, another one will come after that. After a few years, another one will come. So that is not the real solution. That's what he said. Durvaro deha moham yadi punaradhuna tarhi nishesha rogan kritva bhaktim dradishtam kurutava padavangeruhe pangajaksha. He says that durvaro deha moham, this deha moham, identification with the body, is the most difficult thing to give up. Turvaram, most difficult thing to get over. Punaradhuna tarhi nishesha rogan. Then apart from that, that even if this problem is cured, disease is cured, kritva bhaktim dradishtam, unless you establish me in pure bhakti, in devotion, surrender unto you, Kurutava, please do that. Padabangeruhe Pangajaksha. Calling Krishna as Pangajaksha. Pangajaksha means, O lotus eyed one. Addressing Krishna like that, saying that, please establish me in pure bhakti towards you. Nunam nana bhavandi samadhigadamimam muktidam vipradeham. Melpatur has every reason to say this. You have to know why he said that. He's saying, Nunam mana bhavande. I have lived in every other body. He was extremely intelligent. Considered to be an incarnation of Lord Balaram. There are reasons for that, why they have spoken about him that way. Nunam nana bhavande samadhi gatam imam muktidam vipradeham. That I got a body now. He's saying his own good fortune. I got this body. And what is the benefit of this body? In this body, it has got everything what is necessary for self-realization, for realizing the truth. First of all, he got that education, right education in life. Didn't get attracted by any other things in this world. The society at that time served him very well. Got right birth in the right family and the right environment. The environment was very good, you have to remember. And the right parentage, who gave that right education to him at the village. He had all the good vasanas inside to cultivate. Because if you see the books he wrote and the way he was debating with the different people in the Shastram. And finally after Narayaniyam was written, Krishna appeared in front of him and said to him, this Narayaniyam written by you is together, you and me. Together has made it. Dveda Narayaniyam. It ends at the end. But important thing here is, he's saying, in this body, what is the greatest benefit this body has got? Muktidam vipradeham. It has got the capacity, if you utilize that body properly, because if you have the right consciousness inside, and the right psyche inside, like all the good qualities necessary for cultivating self-realization, and if you don't utilize it, you are doing the greatest injustice to yourself, is it not? That body, what he has got, was the body and all the facilities. Added to that, a spiritual master like Achyuta Pusharadi, who gave him that understanding, very deep level inside, and all qualities what's necessary for self-realization. And if I don't use it for that purpose, is there anyone more criminal than that? He was asking, saying that, Muktidam vipradeham, and still what has happened to me? Chudre, ha handama, ma, shiva vishayarase. Still what happened was, you'll see how great personalities fall, get victimized. Achyuta Pusharadi has a beautiful daughter. Beautiful daughter. So, Melpathur went to stay with Achyuta Pusharadi. He was staying there to study Tarkam, Nyayam. Two things he was studying from Achyuta Pusharadi. He had other teachers as well. He had two brothers, Devadatta and Madhradatta, before him. But he was the third son in the family. In them days, in their families, the system was only the eldest son has all the property. And the eldest son has all the responsibility also. The second son, third son, they don't get anything. They have to leave home and go find their way. And it is a Vedic system also. Why? You know, you can see that it has come into all the royal families later. Originally it comes from the Smriti. That understanding comes from Smriti. That eldest member, eldest son has all the responsibility and all the wealth also. So he was the third son and he didn't have much to stay back or look forward to maintain his life. So he has come out from there. So it is at that time that he decided to study Shastram seriously. He was interested in that. But what happened? In them days, you stay with the teacher at his house. They were all like universities. These spiritual masters, they lived like they run a university at home. So many like that. Big families. They maintain children at home. They will give them food, shelter, and knowledge. Everything. Free. No paisa spent for that. That was the system then. And wealthy people, they considered that as their responsibility to look after the children in that way. So that when they come up, there will be stars in their spiritual life. There will be stars. So Bhattadri Melpathur also had a similar opportunity with Achyuta Pusharadi. So one morning, Achyuta Pusharadi was running the classes in the early hours in the morning. Melpathur didn't get up that morning. He was late. He was staying there. And he got up around 7 o'clock or so. And first thing what they do is when they get up, they won't look at people. They'll go to the tank to bathe. First thing they have to go and do that. Purify themselves before they do anything else. It was unknown in them days not to bathe in the morning. First thing when you get up, before you start your vyavaharam in this world, you go and clean yourself first and be... And it's very difficult, what they call as their services, what they have to do, the Brahmanas have to do them days. And only after that, even if it take hours, only after finishing that, they will get into the worldly affairs, what they have to do. So Melpathur came out of the bedroom and he was walking towards, and Achyuta Pusharadi was teaching other disciples some subject in what he was teaching them. Melpathur walked through the middle in the... And at that time, Achyuta Pusharadi looked at him and said this, how unfortunate this is, he said. And Achyuta Pusharadi knew that he had such an intelligence, very high intelligence he had. And Shastram and all was like this, if you taught him something, the subtle side of this, he will understand much faster than anybody else. But in spite of that, he was sleeping like this. And he heard that, Melpathur heard that, it hit him very hard, hit him very hard. That such an opportunity in life came to him, people to teach, Shastram that too, and the whole society was geared in that way. They were not running to the factory and offices to start. their life at 7 o'clock in the morning. The tube is on strike, buses are on strike, all to get to chapatis at the end of the day. For which? So you can see the intelligence, what's working in our head and what's working in their head. They gave value to knowledge, they gave value to realization. So Madhvatur said, felt this, heard this, and it hit him very hard. From that day onwards, he changed his way of life. He changed his way of life. And later on, you will see that he got attracted to the daughter of Achyuta Pisharadi. He had a beautiful daughter. He married her later on in life. But after the marriage, because she was so good, daughter of a very famous person, Pisharadi, Achyuta Pisharadi, that she stuck to that spiritual positions. Therefore, Melpatur's life also was very smooth later. It was very good that way in his householder life as well. Melpatur was a very genius, real genius he was. If you look into Shastram, the way he wrote things and analyzed things. So he is saying here, Chudre ha handa mama chiba vishaya rase pahi mama rudesha. That don't send my attraction to the sense enjoyment world. Keep me with you, otherwise I have no shelter. So I'm saying that, Prahlada is saying here also the same thing, that mind is going out into the world in various ways, it's attracting. And you are sitting inside all this as Antaryami inside me. And it is identifying with this body. It's identifying with this body. So please teach me that technique by which I can come out from this bodily identification. Because only if I know that technique, this deha moham will go from me. Otherwise, I will continue rotating through this deha moham. Deha moham means bodily identity. And I will go through this cycle of birth and death, life after life. And and in order to protect this body, I have to become the servant of many people in this world. That's our position, isn't it? Why, when you go and work in the offices and all, sometimes certain situations come sometimes. You don't want it anymore. You just disgusted with the whole working situation. And first of all, when you start analyzing what the organization is doing, it's not very nice things. They involve you in all these things. So they are sharing their karma with you in some way. You also take a little share because you're a part of us. They may be making all kinds of weaponry and equipments in this world to kill so many others, or so many things going on there. Anyway, we can't discuss that so much. But in that process, what's happening? We have to become their servant, isn't it? You have to become their servant. You have to become the servant of the family. You have to become the servant of the society. This is all the truth. And there is no escape route from that. So, all because of what? Identification with the body. That's where all the problem comes, isn't it? Identification with the body, therefore you are the servant of the society, servant of the family, servant of the employer. Everywhere it is because of this. And that is where it is very difficult to escape from this. So, that we are thinking that all these big people, they are all big men and we are saluting them and offering to services to them. And we think that they have something to offer to us, to give it to us. They have nothing to give it to us. They have nothing to give it to us. So, and therefore, he says, because we identify with the body, and then we are saying that we are your servant in this way. Prahlada says that instead of becoming servant for and a slave of so many people, if I become your servant, this problem is solved. And that is the best thing to do. That's what he's saying here. Vadame tava dasya yogam. Brahman Brahmami Vadame Tava Dasya Yogam. We are discussing these things. I know in our practical life all this is difficult today. But there was a time in the history when people had this understanding, when they were not controlled by the society to the extent the way we are controlled. That is what he is saying. Soham priyasya. Look at the next words. Soham priyasya sukhrida paradevadaya lila kathastava nrsimha virincha geetaha anjasti dharma anugranan guna vipramukto durganide padayugalaya hamsa sangaha. That is the 18th words. Soham priyasya sukhrida paradevadaya lila katha tava nrsimha virincha geetaha anjastidhar anugranan guna vipramukto durganide padayugalaya hamsa sangaha. We will discuss that tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.